The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Today's broadcast is being simulcast in broken English.
Here we go in 3, 2.
Time to wake up!
Hey, what are you doing here? About to go on the air!
Uh-oh.
Get out of bed. Resistance is futile.
Back to reality.
I love that show.
It's very hip to be on the show.
We ain't one at a time in here. They broadcast me out on the radio. We're mass communicating.
Best show since no other show.
I absolutely love you. You're thoroughly entertaining.
Get ready to taste some sweet ear candy.
Okay, here we go.
It's showtime.
Gentlemen. This is The Cue.
Let's get down to business. Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Cue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and you are listening to the best, absolute best, current events, pop culture, politically twisted radio show east and west of that Mississippi River right there, hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, and worldwide on the interwebs at thecuenow.com. I am your one fantabulous host himself, Mark Bland, as always, joined by my two favorite people in the entire world, one being Mr. Producer Bobby. How are you doing, Producer Bobby?
I am suave.
You are suave, sir.
I am suave.
How suave are you today?
100% suave.
Do you use suave gels? Do you use the suave gel stuff?
Hair gel?
Sure.
Yeah,
well,
actually,
maybe.
I do.
I'm more of a pert guy, personally. I've always done the pert thing. You know what I'm saying?
I did the, I think it was called ice for a while. I did the ice. And then I found out that stuff is really hard to get out of your hair, and you have to get a special shampoo to get the ice stuff out. Uh-huh. So I stopped using ice, and I actually do use the suave.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, aside from Producer Bobby, of course, my other favorite person in the entire world is a gentleman by the name of Dan the Animal Walsh. He is
king
not
of
here.
All media.
He is not the king of all media. Would you stop it? I'm sick of that.
He is the king
of all media.
It's
ridiculous. That doesn't even make sense. It's Howard Stern.
In Czechoslovakia. Uh-huh.
Shut up.
Czechoslovakia.
No. And by the way, we need to let him know on the show that he's got a new fan base in another part of the world.
He does.
We found out about this. We'll talk about that when Dan Walsh gets here. He is on his way. But today's show is huge because if you didn't know, we do advice letters from the listeners in overtime usually, but we are going to do them on the main show because we have a real live sex therapist named Lindsay Walden. LindsayWalden.com is her website, and she is on the show today. Being a terrorist just got a little easier, possibly, and we will discuss where the line is and what falls on either side. Trust me, this will be a good story, but without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Lindsay Walden. All right. Yes.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing over there? You're sexy.
I'm sexy.
You have a sexy thing over there.
Well, thanks.
Is that now? Have you always been sexy? Has this been okay? Let me go down this road first.
That's a funny question.
Have you always been sexy?
I don't know.
I don't know if I think of myself as sexy, honestly.
But thanks.
You don't think of yourself as sexy?
Oh, you know, you've heard that thing.
I mean, you're a sex therapist.
Oh,
obviously, there has to be some type of carnal love of the sexual nature of human beings that you like, or
right.
You wouldn't have gotten into it.
Well, have you ever heard the thing of, you know, like, there?
Go ahead. I'm listening.
I love it.
I'm listening.
Therapists are, you know, like, what is it, like, crazier than their clients or whatever?
Right,
so,
of course.
You know, like, there's that idea of, well, I got my own issues, and you know, like the whole like.
I mean, you're a human being. We
right.
get that. Like,
yeah.
we understand that
yeah.
aspect of it. But at a certain point, you know, you were a young, flirtatious 16-year-old girl, saw the hot guy with a cigarette pack rolled up in his shoulder sleeve, right?
If you only knew me at 16,
no,
to
you
now,
were nothing
you
like
would
that.
Be like, that's not the same person. What the hell?
Now,
yeah.
first off, what part of St. Louis are you from? Are you from St. Louis originally?
No.
Where
I'm actually
from
a really small town in northern Louisiana.
Okay.
I knew it.
And that's actually part of why it's funny. Like, it's not lost on me why I'm a sex therapist. Like, you know, I didn't grow up thinking I'm going to be a sex therapist one day. But I grew up in a very small
Duck Dynasty headquarters.
Religious
Duck
environment.
Commander
actually,
quarters. Yeah, Duck Commander.
Okay, so they're in West Monroe, Louisiana.
Sure.
I grew up in Monroe, Louisiana.
Oh,
no.
Wow. That's
yeah.
cool. Did you know those guys?
I didn't know them,
oh.
but, you
All
know,
right,
I
enough.
Mean, there's people, I'm sure, that, like, in my family that
oh,
know
I'm
them
sure.
Whatever,
there's got to be a crossover of some
oh,
sort.
Sure.
That happens quite often.
Oh, Oh, yeah. And so I grew up in the time that in Louisiana at the time, it was an abstinence-only state.
Okay.
And the only sex education I got was don't do it.
Don't do it. And Bobby, I need you to not do it. Because Bobby just had his third child in the last Lord. 5 years. And this man needs to be told,
you need
don't
a hobby.
Do it.
No. Yeah, you need a, that doesn't involve
we thought the Q
right?
was his hobby, and that still didn't change anything.
That's hilarious. No, well, like, so not only that, I very, very, very distinctly remember I was in probably like the seventh grade.
Yes.
And I remember I was in the bathroom at school.
Yeah.
And some girls were talking about performing oral pleasure.
Oral.
A, isn't it? It's oral.
It could be both.
It could be.
Oral and oral pleasure.
You know, you could give oral and make somebody have oral sound. Yep. There you go.
There it is.
But no, so,
I was not thinking about the auditory section of that. Actually.
That's funny. Call. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. So I remember them talking about it. And I went home.
Okay.
And I didn't know. Like, they were using the term that I don't know if I can say it on the radio or not. We say blowjoes on my show.
Oh, the blowjob?
Yeah. Oh, you can say that?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure you can say blowjob. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying the word blowjob. I mean, let's not blow it out of proportion. Let's not say blowjob a lot. I mean, if you say blowjob a lot.
But if you say blowjob.
But if you keep repeating blowjob, eventually someone's going to catch on that you're saying blowjob.
Okay. So I didn't know what that term meant. I was, like I said, like 12 something, 11, 12. And I went home and I remember asking my mom, like, she'd always said, if you have questions, you can ask me. And I remember asking her, like, Mom, what does this mean? She freaked the F out and was like, why are you doing that? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. And she's like, okay, well, you don't need to be doing that. I'm like, I don't know what it is. Well, are you sure you're not doing that? And I'm like, dear Lord, I don't even know
Mom,
what it is.
Do you not understand what Dad does to you nightly? I don't know what it is.
Yes.
Oh, wait. That
Other
didn't make
around.
Sense. Other
but,
way
yeah.
around.
Flip
yeah.
that bad boy.
Stop that. Change it around. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but it's like, I remember, you know, that taught me, I think, you don't ask Mom questions because she's going to freak out on you. And so I had one friend in high school that was pretty promiscuous, and she would, like, give me details about things because I would ask questions. I've always wanted to know things, be curious about things. And I've always been a really, like, non-judgmental person. Like, you know, you can tell me
anything. Right,
yeah. Like, I'll kind of joke that, you know, you can tell me that the only way you achieve sexual pleasure is to, you know, insert whole peanuts in places. And it's like, well, unless you're allergic to peanuts, I've got no issue. And if you are allergic to peanuts, then we'll change to like walnuts or something.
Now, that's one of my rants that I have on the show. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Because we've had this discussion on the show, Bobby, many a time. Have we not, sir?
We have.
Sure.
When you were growing up, can I get a general age for you? Like
right
30s?
Now, I'm 20, 30. You're 30. I just turned 30.
You just turned 30 years
about
old. Okay.
2-3 months ago. Yeah.
Perfect. So you're close to Bobby's age, my age, and Dan's age. Well, I'm just an old man.
Oh, Lord.
But here's the deal. Here's the question for you. Did you know anyone with a peanut allergy when you were growing up? Did you know a single person that you grew up with that was like, you know what, we can't have peanuts around Brenda over there because she's a little,
she
gets a little flipsy on that stuff and out of control. No, no, you
did. I don't think I did.
Because they don't exist.
Oh, my God.
Peanut allergies don't exist, you people out there on your plate. Listen, when I get on a plane,
you know that they have now.
I don't care what
baseball
they have.
Games.
Yeah, yeah.
They have peanut-free sections.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
That's because it's ridiculous, stupid people. That's who buys those tickets. It's ridiculous, stupid. Think about this, man. I can't even have a bag of peanuts on a freaking plane anymore because you told somebody when you were 17 years old, I think I got peanut allergies. And before you knew it, you became like a high-powered like congresswoman or whatever. And then you decided to like put it out there to everybody. This is this is distasteful, and this is distracting us as human beings. And there are so many people out there with peanut allergies. Those peanut allergies are they're destroying our American way of life. And so before you know it, now Mark has to pay $700 for a freaking ticket somewhere in the United States on a plane. And he still has to pay for the baggage to get checked underneath because he's got to bring two bags. He can't just bring one.
Right.
He's got to bring two. So now he's got to pay that little extra bump. So that's $750 for a plane ticket. And I can't even have peanuts. That doesn't make sense to me, man. You didn't know anyone who had peanut allergies growing up. I didn't know anybody who had peanuts. We've met thousands of people growing up. They never had peanut allergies, but here they are. They're all over the place. So if you want to shove them up in somewhere, but don't do it if you have peanut allergies.
That's
not
right.
Knocking you. I'm just saying.
It's just really more of like a funny haha, but I get it.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous to me. Oh, Lindsay, you got me off on my rants. I got to do something today. I got to do some rants now. Okay.
No, I love it.
So check this out. Okay.
These rants have been brought to you by.
Yeah, right.
All
right.
So check this out.
Uh-huh.
Go swimming today at Wapplehorst Pool in St. Charles County. Now, Wobble Horse is a park that's run by the St. Charles City County Government. Okay. It's outside of the St. Louis area. St. Charles, for all of you, we have listeners in Miami, New York, all kinds of different places. So
I'm being broadcast all over.
You are being broadcast all over. So I just want, you know, for all of you out there that are listening to the show that are not from this area, St. Charles is about 25 minutes outside of from the downtown St. Louis arch. Yeah. Okay. It's out in the suburbs because everybody in St. Louis lives in the suburbs.
Right.
True.
So we go to Wobble Horse Pool. My daughter, she's 5 years old. She wants to go on the big people slides. The big people slides. Everyone loves the big people slides, right? You like the big people slides?
I love
the big people slides? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like a water park slide, you mean?
Water park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a water park. You know, it's got the big bucket that dumps on everybody. Yeah. Oh, okay. So here's the situation. We go to the Wobble Horse Pool. I go up with my daughter carrying the two tubes. We get to the top. They have a sign there that says you have to be this tall to ride the water slide.
Yeah.
Now, to this young lady's defense, who was the lifeguard, who tries to call my daughter out, okay? Mm-hmm. She calls my daughter out, and she goes, sweetheart, I'm going to need you to step over here. I need to put you up next to that sign. And she puts her up next to the sign, and my daughter was 4 inches too short. Mm-hmm. To her defense, mm-hmm. my daughter's 4 inches too short. Got it. Heart's broken. Dad has to go into dad mode because I have to, like, you know, caress her, tell her it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. She's crying uncontrollably. She wants to go on the big people slides.
Right.
She's got her floaties on and everything else. She knows how to handle herself. She's close to breaking through on the swimming aspect of life. Mm-hmm. So she's fine. But then I'm sitting there and I'm watching as I'm watching the line. The line is literally like 30 kids long. There has to be at least 6 different kids in this line. They're the same height as my daughter, mm-hmm. all carrying their tubes. Well, the one kid walks up, walks past the lifeguard. He gets in. I said, he's the same height as my daughter. She goes, he's already been down the slide multiple times. I don't need to test him. And I said, no, that's the problem.
Right.
That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The problem is that you come up with every excuse in the book to not. This is like cops. They give away chicken crap tickets.
This is like cops?
Yeah, like the cops, they give away chicken crap tickets.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
okay, I got pulled over the other night. No, hold on. It's the same idea. I got pulled over the other night, right?
Right.
For supposedly running a red light. Mm-hmm. Stop sign.
Stop sign.
Running a stop sign. He decides to write me a warning for the stop sign and give me a seatbelt ticket.
Awesome.
So let me get this right. You felt so convicted about me running the stop sign that you were willingly able to use that to pull me over in the first place. Yet, you weren't so convicted about that said offense that you were willing to actually write the more expensive ticket that would have made more money for your government. You're an idiot. Either you're an idiot or you just pulled BS because you just want it. Like, you're like, I'm going to give you a $10 no points seatbelt ticket. Just go ahead and sign that, sir. My name's Officer blah, 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 blah. Well, like, and I'm like sitting there going, this is ridiculous, guys. Doesn't make no sense, Bobby.
Some parts of St. Louis, you can't be pulled over for just the no seatbelt.
Oh.
There has to be something else.
It doesn't matter.
And then if they discover the seatbelt, quote unquote, discover. Mm-hmm.
But the rule is click it or ticket. We all, the whole United States of America knows what click it or ticket is. Okay?
Absolutely.
The rule is click it
or
you get a ticket.
Right.
If I see that it's not clicked, I'm going to pull you over and give you a ticket for clicking and not clicking.
Right.
For not clicking.
For not clicking. Okay? For not clicking the clicking. Okay?
Yep. Okay.
So my point is that you pull me over for running a stop sign. Obviously, I really didn't run a stop sign now, did I? So obviously, you went out of your way to just give me a $10 ticket.
By the way, did you stop at the white line or the sign?
Oh.
Because I found this out.
It was close. It was one of these really serious gray area, like, Mark came to a stop for maybe a half a second. Mm-hmm. Like, just long enough to where you could see the car go, and then go. Like it was there. There was a full stop, but it was maybe not as long as he wanted it. Evidently, even in his mind, it was pretty gray area because he didn't give me the ticket. If I egregiously just blew through the stop sign, I'm sure he would have wrote that ticket up. But he still gives me the seatbelt ticket.
But apparently,
which is ridiculous.
Apparently, you have to stop at the sign, not that white line. And I didn't know that.
Do not defend stupidity.
No. I'm just saying running a stop sign ticket before because I stopped at the white line.
You've never gotten a ticket for running anything because you've never run.
I have ran a couple times.
Not.
A couple times.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
Anyway.
Fair enough. Back to the swimming pool.
Well, that was awesome.
But the idea behind why the cop does it is kind of the same reason I'm going to pull you over.
Right.
I'm going to stop you, but I'm not going to stop everybody else who blatantly just falls into the same thing because I'm just going to give them carte blanche.
Right.
Because I just want to get you today. That's crap.
Or make an example of you.
That's real crap, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, make an example of you. That's exactly it, mm-hmm. Lindsay. Like, that is real. By the way, lindsaywalden.com. Her website. If you get a chance, go check out lindsaywalden.com because she is a registered official sex therapist, right?
Well, like, I'm a licensed professional counselor. And then I'm a sex therapist. I went and did a certification program to.
And Lindsay
to
covers.
So you are a counselor.
Yes.
And she is a licensed counselor. So if you have mental issues, which I know many of you out there do, Lindsay's willing to get on a plane if you're willing to pay for it. She'll go on a plane and come all the way down to Monroe, Louisiana. She'll sit down with your entire family that puts on stupid beards and bad haircuts and likes to sell duck stuff, okay? And she'll talk to all of you. She'll talk to every single one of you.
Maybe there's a duck fetish.
Maybe there's a duck fetish there, okay? There's a stupidity fetish, definitely. All right.
Well, now, one of the things that she covers is kink.
Okay.
I do. In fact, the Fridays are Fetish Fridays.
Last thing I want to argue, last thing I want to rant on about here before we hit the break. And by the way, you're listening to us on 1420 WINI and 1380 The X. Check us out at 1380TheX.com if you want to listen to us Sundays from 1 till 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on 1420 WINI. Some of those other stations, they kind of just randomly throw us in Chicago, Memphis, and everywhere else, as well as always at theqnow.com worldwide. Last thing I want to complain about is how many times have we run into this? Okay, it was 4:30 in the afternoon. So technically that would be the beginning of rush hour or around rush hour starting for the St. Louis area, right? Mm-hmm. Would you say that Mid Rivers Mall out in St. Charles County, would you say Mid Rivers is a pretty huge area for people getting on and off the highway?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a pretty major St. Peter's, pretty well-known little area in the St. Louis area. Okay. Yeah. Well, they decided to do road work on the exit ramp during rush hour.
Yep.
Hey, how about this, geniuses? You got these lights that you like put on and you like pump up the brakes and you get them all running and you got them all flaring around and there's bugs flying around. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. How about we do that at 2 o'clock in the morning, not 4:30 in the afternoon while everybody's trying to get home from work? We've all worked a really, really rough day just so that you can make our drive home worse. By the way, Governor Chris Christie of the wonderful state of New Jersey, he got in trouble for creating or he technically himself did not create. He just kind of ignored the emails that told him this was going down. But he kind of knew about what was going on.
Right.
Where they created this specifically. And everyone who was around that man got fired for it.
Wow.
The whole story.
Jimmy Fallon did a little skit, The Evolution of Dance, with Chris Christie.
I would love to see that.
One of the things in there was the it was called Creating a Traffic Jam.
Creating a Traffic
Jam. And Chris Christie walked off the stage.
That's funny, man. That's like, I just don't understand. We need as a country to stop. First off, we need as a country for you to stop being conservatives. That's number one. Second, we need you to stop being Tea Party people. We need you to stop technically even saying the word GOP or Republican at all times. Like, we just need you to stop. Now, I'm a moderate liberal. Right? I'm moderate.
Yes.
I pull from the best. I'm like a hybrid. I'm like the T-2000, right? I turn into liquid silver and I'll float around all over the place, okay?
It's liquid ice.
Whatever. Shut up. The best of both worlds. I'm the best of both worlds here. And I understand that there are some great things about the conservative movement, okay?
Yeah.
All of the rest of you are idiots. That's pretty much what I look at. That's how I look at this entire situation.
Okay.
You're morons and you're idiots and you need to stop. Now, Bobby?
Yes.
Where do you say you fall politically? I don't think we've ever had this conversation technically on the show.
I don't think we've ever had it live on the air, but I kind of fall, I guess you could say
you're moderate.
I'm a hybrid because I just take the certain topics and I develop my own theory and my own opinion. And if it happens to be the same as Barack Obama, Mitt Romney,
whoever,
you know, whoever, then that's who I'm going to vote for.
Sandy Hook. Sandy Hook was fake. Sandy Hook was real.
The way that I vote is based upon the number of opinions that I match with a person.
All right. I'm going to move on here with Lindsay now.
Okay.
All right. Quick question for the room. Okay. This is probably going to be the last thing we talk about before we hit the break here.
All right.
Quick question for the room. Okay. So I'm sitting there and I'm driving in and I'm thinking about questions to talk to Lindsay about. Awesome. And this one just pops into my head and I can't get enough of it. So I got to bring this up real quick.
Well, the best thing is
okay, when Mark check it up.
Gets here, he goes, I've got the best question.
All right, so we got to figure this out real quick. And I don't need a long-winded answer, Lindsay. Okay. I don't need the sexual therapist counselor aspect of this, okay? I just need either you fall on one side or you fall on the other side of this question in technical terms, okay?
Okay.
Now, for you, we're going to make it your mom.
Okay.
And for you and me, it's going to be our dad, okay? Check it out.
Oh, geez.
Hottest boy / girl in high school. You find out there's a porn tape of her getting railed. And the person that's doing the dirty with the hottest... Say you're 15 years old. 16 years old. You're 16 years old. 16-year-old Bobby. 16-year-old Lindsay. 16-year-old Mark.
Okay.
You see this girl every day, or boy, every day at high school. Super sexy. Super hottest guy in the class. Hottest girl in the class. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Find out there's a porno. The porno is a porno, but it's either your mom, in your case, or your dad railing this chick or this guy. Okay?
Oh, no.
Do you watch the porno? Do we watch the porno? You're 16 years old. 16-year-old mind, Bobby.
I hate to say it, but I probably would. Still would.
You'd be willing to get past dad's dong.
Yeah.
You would.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, fair enough. I mean, she is the hottest girl. Like, you see her in class. You vision.
I sat there and I watched
what
her. I would
do. What about you, Lindsay? Where do you stand?
Yeah, no, I think that... Honestly, I don't know if that 16-year-old me would, but I know me now would.
No, you're 16-year-old you. 16-year-old you what now?
I don't know, because I don't know. 16-year-old me was
and
really
it's your
naive
mom. Your mom completely buck naked riding dude.
Yeah, I probably would.
And you wouldn't? It wouldn't bother you?
Bother me?
Well, yeah, to see your mom buck naked having sex with a classmate. Hmm. Even though it's the hottest classmate that you know.
I don't know. See, that kind of falls on that, like, I just, like...
Like I said, it's either one side or the other.
It's hard to really freak me out, and it's like, I don't know, like, there would be a...
16-year-old, you wouldn't have been freaked out?
I don't think so, because even then, things didn't freak me out. I just didn't know a lot.
Okay, okay. So, like, Lindsay's in, Bobby, you're in.
After the first time, I probably wouldn't watch it ever again.
Like, with the money shot with your dad? Like... Seeing dad's money shot, dude?
But I think the funniest part is knowing that it's your dad, and you could just walk in the other room and be like, Dad. So you should check out this video I saw. Hit play, and then your dad's just like,
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen.
That's actually a good point. I think I would probably have used that as ammunition.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, we are getting close to the bottom of the hour, and I want to let you guys know about, Bobby, what do we got going on over the Muni, buddy?
Well, we are working with the Muni this year, and we have some awesome giveaways this year, and the Muni wants you guys to go and check out Tarzan, starring Nicholas Rodriguez.
Okay.
In the U.S. and Muni premiere, it is featuring music and lyrics from Phil Collins, and it is the award-winning Tarzan based on the smash hit Disney film. It debuts June 25th, and it is going through July 2nd. Sponsored by U.S. Bank. Check it out at the Muni.
All right, well, ladies and gentlemen, while we take this break, get yourself to a computer, lindsaywalden.com. That's LindsayWalden, Walden, WALDEN.com. Check her out, as well as The Q Now, TheQNOW.com. Old episodes, new episodes, and everything else. Hopefully, when we get back, Dan Walsh will be in the house, the Polar Vortex himself. We will be back on The Q after this.
It's time. Taking the game to another level. Rapping the country western.
Rapping that country way, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back.
What is it about?
Bowing stop. Up. Stop.
Keeping it high like the middle of June. Just ticks tycoon. Country rap.
Okay,
tunes.
Stop, please. Please. I'm trying to intro the show. Welcome back to The Q, of course. Mark Bland. Joined today by producer Bobby. Dan Walsh is on his way. He will be here shortly. But we have the lovely Lindsay Walden sitting in with us, a professional sex therapist and counselor who has decided to join us today on The Q, which was probably her mistake. Too bad for her. She's stuck here now, and we're not going to let her out of the room until the show is over with.
I feel kind of bad, though, because I lied. I told you guys I was going to be in a... You know, not the only sexy thing here was going to be Lindsay. It was going to be me and
my
leopard thong.
Yeah, where's your leopard thong at,
the
homie?
The security guard at the station wouldn't let me in.
Ha ha.
Well, that happens,
so he made
dude.
Me
what
go
do you want
change.
Me to do about it? Yeah, well,
so,
I love Cletus. He's a nice guy.
Unfortunately, we didn't
been around.
Get to...
It's weird. You don't meet many people named Cletus. You really don't, especially, like, you just don't.
And, unless you're in Monroe, Louisiana.
And there's that.
All right. I have a cousin or an uncle or somebody named Cletus, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the things I topped off at the top of the show. The U.S. government's no-fly list banning people accused of links to terrorism from commercial flights violates their constitutional rights because it gives them no meaningful way to contest that decision, a federal judge ruled on Tuesday. U.S. District Judge Anna Brown, ruling on a lawsuit filed in federal court in Oregon by 13 Muslim Americans who are branded with the no-fly status, ordered the government to come up with new procedures that allow people on the no-fly list to challenge that designation. The court concludes international travel is not a mere convenience or luxury in this modern world. Indeed, for many international travelers, it is a necessary aspect of liberties sacred to members of a free society, Brown wrote in her 65-page ruling. Accordingly, on this record, the court concludes plaintiffs' inclusion on the no-fly list constitutes a significant deprivation of their liberty interest in international travel, Brown said. The decision hands a major victory to the 13 plaintiffs. You ready for this? Four of them are veterans of the U.S. military who deny that they have links to terrorism and say they only learned of the no-fly status when they arrived at an airport and were blocked from boarding in the first place. The American Civil Liberties Union, which brought the suit against the policy in 2010, argues that secrecy surrounding the list and lack of any reasonable opportunity for plaintiffs to fight their placement on it violates their clients' constitutional rights and due process. Now, the reason I brought this up and I wanted to talk about it is the fact that I think what makes this story really unique is the fact that you have four Muslim Americans who are veterans of the United States military. Not everybody's a Bo Bergdahl.
Right.
Not everybody is literally leaving their unit, going and hanging out with this person over here, or that person over there, creating terrorism towards the United States. Some of these people are legitimately human beings that just happen to be of Muslim descent, right, who are actual members of the United States military that would fight just as hard as you would, white guy, black guy, any other color guy that exists in the world, for your liberties.
When did they get put on this no-fly list?
Well, they found out mm-hmm. after the fact. But, well, like, I'm assuming since the no-fly list was instituted, which was post 9/11.
Right.
Well, the only thing I can think of, you know, the guy that did the original Fort Major Hassan.
Major Hassan, yeah.
Down at Fort Hood, Texas.
Right. I mean, Fort Hood Killer, yeah.
He was of Muslim descent
well,
as well.
Well, of course, that does mm-hmm. exist. And we're going to, I don't want to sit here and play the absolutes game because we can play correct. That all day long. But those people do exist. They're going to go crazy sometimes. And it's not necessarily that they're Muslim sometimes. It's because they're just crazy.
Right.
Sometimes it is because they're Muslim and they have a certain religious belief or whatever that is telling them what they should do in their own mind. Like, whatever the reason is, it comes in many forms and fashions, but not every single person. So I think that it is only right that there is at least a way to challenge the designation.
Right.
Now, once you challenge the designation, if they still deem whatever you say is not valuable or valid enough for you to be taken off the no-fly list, then so be it. You're left on the no-fly list. But I would assume that if you have four decorated or even past military veterans that are on the no-fly list, you could probably go back to their DD-249s or whatever Dan talks
about.
DD-214s or whatever and find out, were they in the military? When did they go in? When were they released? What kind of rankings did they like? And then maybe even call around to a couple of the people that weren't like and be like, hey, yeah, he served in Iraq with us. He was absolutely fine. There was nothing right. that happened.
Were they honorably discharged, dishonorably
right,
discharged?
Right, exactly. You can find all that
medically
out.
Medically discharged.
That's my point. You can find all those things out. I think that it's ridiculous to believe anything beyond that.
Even absolutely. So, I'll say that, you know, when you say, like, you know, not everybody's going to go crazy and, you know, do these, you know, horrendous things.
I don't know. You keep saying you know, but I don't know.
Oh, sorry. I have a couple of that. I say awesome a lot, too.
Awesome.
Sorry if I do.
Everything
yeah.
is awesome.
I know, right?
Yep.
Yeah. But so one of the things that I like to remind people is that the people that flew the planes into the World Trade Center, the people that do these acts of terrorism, they don't think they're crazy.
No, they absolutely don't think they're crazy.
They
do not think they're crazy. And as a counselor, you know, these are the kind of things you look into, psychology.
Right.
And the backgrounds of individuals on
religious
a day-to-day.
Indoctrination. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, like, some of that does take precedence when it comes to these things. And, yeah, those guys specifically were on a path of terror. They were going out of their way to create something bad. Not every person who has a burqa on their head is literally, like, you know, jihad this
right.
and, you know.
So as a counselor, okay,
yeah. mm-hmm.
At what point, you know, what we were mm-hmm. just talking about, at what point does it get to where you say, okay, you know, someone, it's not just someone telling you their thoughts and their, you know, what point does it get
where
to?
Where do you see that, changeover?
I have to report this to someone.
Yeah. Okay. So if, first of all, somebody gives me information that a child or a dependent adult or an elderly individual is being abused, and we either have a way to say, like, we know this is happening, this person's telling me they know it's happening, I don't have a choice in this state. Now, some states are different. I'm a mandated reporter in this state, though, in that I...
you have to report it to the state.
Yes. The other thing, though, is that, and this is the real kind of like touchy kind of iffy area, that if somebody says to me, all right, Lindsay, I'm going to go home and I am going to get my shotgun and I'm going to go shoot Mark in the face.
Yes.
Okay. I have not only, I have to first kind of assess their level of lethality. Like, how lethal are they? How serious do I think they are about it? Are they talking in jest? Like, sometimes like, oh, I could strangle that guy. Okay.
Now, what if they're a quiet person that you know that is not normal, but they ended up doing it?
What you mean, like what?
Like say you have an individual who's not showing the signs, telltale signs specifically of they're being lethargic or psychosis, like or they're even like maybe they're just a normally calm individual.
Right.
You've dealt with this person. They've talked about many different things in front of you, and none of them have ever triggered anything in your mind to make you go, this person just has some issues in their head. They talk to me and usually it's fine. And then one day after one of these talks, they said something no different than 30 other things that they've said before.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they just do it. They like go and do it. Mm-hmm. Like how, where do you stand on that? Like how does that, if that slips through the cracks, let's say.
Right. So unfortunately, yes, there are going to be examples of that. And I
sure.
Luckily at this point,
that's
in my
always
career,
the extreme. That's always the extreme.
Absolutely. And I have yet to lose anyone to suicide or to have anybody that's, you know, kind of gone off the deep end.
Fair
like
enough.
That. That doesn't mean, though, that in my career it'll never happen. I hope that it doesn't. And I've talked to colleagues where it has happened to them, and it's a very disturbing, distressing thing because you don't want to feel like you miss anything.
Of course not.
I will say, though, that there is some precedent here where, and part of the reason that I have this duty not only to assess how lethal someone is, but if they were to tell me their plot or their plan, I have a duty not only to either make sure that they don't leave my office unless someone is there to pick them up or the cops are aware, but I also have to call and let you know because I have a duty to warn you that your safety
of impending
is challenged.
Danger, yes.
But if nobody, if you know, the thing that I think is the most frightening is that oftentimes the people that are telling me in my office that they want to hurt themselves or someone else are less likely to do it because they are giving voice to it. It's usually that they're saying it as there's a like a subconscious like idea that, you know, and there's a theory out there that like if they say it, it's because they really they're asking for help.
Right.
It's
okay.
The people it's their don't way of say anything. Yeah.
Right. And there's probably some truth to that. You know, the people who don't say anything, they know that if they say anything, they're just going to like trigger people.
Right.
To like put them down. So they're going to make sure and go out of their way to not say anything.
Now, do you believe in? You know, I'm Christian and and I don't completely believe. Well, I do, but I don't in the speak it into fruition thing.
Speaking into fruition, like if you say it, it will happen.
Correct.
So like karma coming around because you wish it into existence?
Yes.
No, I don't believe that.
Okay.
Now, I do think that there is a importance, at least in the way I like conduct myself personally as well as professionally.
Right.
That, okay, if I see someone in need and they, you know, I don't know, the side of the road and they're like, you know, homeless and they're saying, hey, I need money.
Sure.
If I have cash in my wallet, I will stop and give them some. Now, that doesn't mean that I necessarily know that they're going to go do anything, you know, productive with that money. But I would like to think if I was in the same situation, someone would stop and help me. So it's kind of one of those. I don't know if it's a pay it forward, but kind of.
Right.
Okay. I don't know that that's karma as much as it's more of like doing what I feel is the right thing or like the human thing or the noble thing or the not noble, even just like the considerate thing.
Well, the reason I brought it up is what you were saying. You know, a lot of these people will say it. They voice it, but they would never do anything.
Oh, I get what you're saying. Yes. And sometimes, and I tell people, I'm like, you know, you can say anything in my office. So if you want to say like, oh my God, sometimes I just want to strangle that guy. Or, you know, I just, you know, sometimes I just want to like beat his head in the wall
right.
or something. Like,
you know how the context is being played out.
Right. And so I don't want people to hesitate to share like their actual like real venting emotions. But I do think you're right. There are people that get really kind of freaked out about if I say this, oh, I don't want to say bad things, because if I say it, then, you know, it's going to happen right, or something. Right. It's almost like don't step on the crack type of idea. Like, you'll break your mother's back. You know, it's a superstitious type of thing.
All right. We're going to move on. I got another story here that I want to read to you guys. This is going to be great, having you here doing the counseling thing, because this should be interesting. We're really going to see where people fall on this line here, too.
Okay.
Okay.
As you know, here on The Q, ladies and gentlemen, theqnow.com is the website. Check it out. 1420 WINI, 1380 The X. So you're listening to us right now. William Walters seemed like a typical civic-minded resident of Tacony in Northeast Philadelphia. He served as a Republican committeeman for a decade and had been on the neighborhood watch for 5 years, until neighbors found out about his enthusiasm for other organizations. Walters, it turns out, has also been an active member of the Ku Klux Klan for more than 3 decades, and not just an active member, but a grand dragon of the East Coast Knights of the True Invisible Empire, according to the Philadelphia Magazine. We received information that Bill had been distributing flyers in the neighborhood trying to recruit new members, says Town Watch President Joe Nicoletti of the Excommunication, adding that no one on the Town Watch had a clue about their neighbor's association with the Klan until the flyers turned up. And a part of our bylaws state that members must promote harmony in the neighborhood, and we all know that harmony is not what the KKK is all about. Walters doesn't get what all of the fuss is about. He claims he's being persecuted for his religious beliefs. We are a conservative Christian group, he says. My rights were infringed upon. I can't believe in what I want to. This has infringed on my First Amendment rights. It's reverse discrimination. Now, Walters claims not to be the hate monger, though the magazine found that his Facebook page tells quite the different story. In his own defense, he gave a reporter the kind of on-the-nose quote a reporter only expects to maybe get once or twice in a lifetime. I know we have a bad name, but it's not that way no more, he insists. When was the last time a black or Hispanic gang got hung in a tree around here? Yeah, that's the quote he gets. And he added that the next step might be to start a town watch of his own with the KKK members. We're basically the same thing as a town watch, says Walters. We want to try to get rid of the trash coming in. The GOP and the town watch both ousted Walters with quickness, and he laments that he couldn't even get the ACLU to help him. Fellow Klansmen apparently gathered at the local library last week in show of solidarity with Walters, but they left after a large group of people showed up to laugh and yell at them, Philly Mag says. Walter's troubles come just 2 months after another KKK branch got in hot water in central Pennsylvania for starting a 24-hour Klan line, another neighborhood watch of sorts, a posse even, for residents reporting crimes. The group distributed flyers with an attempt at comforting message. You can sleep tonight knowing the Klan is awake. Okay, so all right. So here's the problem, though. This is why I say it's weird where you fall on this line, because you have a lot of people out there. This man is once again, military veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Fought for the United States of America. He would have bled and died in wars for everybody who lives in this country.
Including people he says he doesn't like
for whatever reasons.
Right.
Now, yet, he goes out of his way to preach this hate mongering, basically, and this Klan background of, like, well, come on. Hey, Ku Klux Klan. Hey. It's Mark Bland from The Q. Listen, we all know what you're about. We got tons and tons of videos about it. We have an entire section from the movie Bad Boys, where two of the most famous black people in American history literally dressed up in Klan outfits and burned a cross live on the air, because that's what the Klan does. So that's my point, ladies and gentlemen. The Klan is alive and well, and we know what you're all about. Do you know who else knows what you're all about? Mark Bland knows what you're all about. Producer Bobby, Lindsay Walden, and the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh. We all know what you're about, because you're the Klan. You're the Ku Klux Klan. I don't even care if you serve. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Guess who just joined us? I've got to ask him. Dan?
Dan looks frightened.
Dan, are you okay?
He kind of does, yeah.
At first, I thought he was going on about conservatives, but then I heard Wu-Tang Clan. Now I'm really confused.
I
heard Klan first, and I'm like, this has got to be awesome.
No, check it out. Check it out. You're a former veteran. You're a veteran.
That was a remix.
Yeah. You're a veteran. This gentleman is a served out military veteran who was working for the Neighborhood Watch for 5 years, working on the Republican committee in his town by Philadelphia and all this. All of a sudden, they found out that he is also a grand dragon in the Ku Klux Klan. So they kind of oust him from the game.
So we weren't talking about the Wu-Tang Klan.
No, we weren't talking about Wu-Tang. Wu-Tang killers.
I was about to be like, they aren't one to mess with.
The Wu-Tang Klan ain't nothing to mess with, yes. We understand. So my question for you is You have this military veteran. He would have fought and died for people that he actually doesn't promote.
Well, so
because that's part of life.
The Tuskegee Airmen.
Where do you stand on this? Do you think he should have been ousted from the Neighborhood Watch and the Republican Committee and all this other stuff that he's been ousted from because he's a part of the Ku Klux Klan and a Grand Dragon or not?
All right, if you're going to ask me, you got to see legal side and you got to see what would I think morally.
Either one.
I think if you're a part of a group that. Okay, there's always there. Okay, what's their official stance now? Because, okay, we all know, like, Ku Klux Klan in the past, these guys are out there lynching people. But now,
synergy.
Half these guys are like, no, we're just proud to be white.
Yeah, now, we're proud to be white, man.
Now, are you so proud to be white that you will remove black? Now, that's not good. That's. So, I mean, he's a grand wizard.
Yeah.
Anybody who's a grand wizard of anything should probably be as far away from responsibility as possible.
Wait, time out. Are they called wizards?
Grand Dragon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's the same thing.
I was just thinking we were talking about Dumbledore.
I have a lack of knowledge on this because I'm not a racist a-hole.
Fair enough.
Good to know.
What about you, Lindsay? Where do you stand on this? Like, should he have been ousted? Should he have been bumped? Or do you think that they overplayed their card on this one because he has the right in his free time to, like, support whatever he feels like he should be able to support?
Well, okay, so it's kind of this, like...
Let's say that I am Glenn, the Glenn Dragon.
Okay.
I'm the Glenn Grand Dragon. Mm-hmm. I'm Puff the Glenn Dragon, okay?
That's hilarious, yes.
All right, now listen. Uh-huh. Puff the Glenn Dragon is telling you, listen, they just got rid of me, Lindsay. I'm here, I'm on a counseling session.
What were you smoking outside at the break?
Nothing. Uh-huh. Listen, I'm here, I am this guy, all right? And I'm in one of your counseling sessions.
Okay.
LindsayWalden.com. Here we go. So yeah, they got rid of me from the GOP committee, and then they kicked me off of the Neighborhood Watch because, I mean, maybe you've read the newspapers. I don't know, but I'm a grand wizard and grand dragon with the Ku Klux Klan of America.
I don't know
why they did this to me, but I just don't think it's fair.
Okay, so when you say it's not fair, what is it that you feel is unfair?
Well, I feel like, you know, I'm a former military. I'm a veteran of the United States military. I fought for this country. I fought for people who I supposedly am supposed to hate. Blacks and Hispanics. Mm-hmm. You know, when was the last time a Hispanic or a black got hung from a tree around here? Not lately. Not lately. So you know it's not me.
I get that. I would wonder, too, though, if you being a part of a group that is well known for being racist and against
just love white people. We just love our white culture and our white background and anything that's not white. Mm-hmm. We don't hate it.
Right.
We just don't want it around and we're willing to stomp on it on a curb.
But it has to go away.
Well,
it has to go away. Subtle.
So to that point, what I would wonder, though, is that if you go back in the history of the organization, there have been lynchings and burnings and these things that are really horrendous.
Those are what we call the glory days, yes.
Okay. So essentially, what I would wonder is that as a member of the community that you are, you know, going to be in the Neighborhood Watch, that you're going to, somebody that is respected as a leader in the community.
Yes.
What if someone of color that is not white is the person reaching out to you for help? Maybe they need your help as a Neighborhood Watch person.
Excuse me, sir. I don't know who you are, but you're going to have time with LindsayWalden.com in a second, okay? You know, technically what I would do to that individual is I would invite him over for a barbecue, okay?
Okay.
I would have him come over. I would make him some of his favorite things. I would make him some, you know, us Klan members, we know exactly what the blacks like, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's say it's a man of color, like a black man, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd make him rice and beans if he's Hispanic. I'd make him some watermelon and chicken grits and everything else, you know?
In the words of Michael Scott, some collard greens?
Some collard greens.
Collard greens.
Yeah, those too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And then, as the night went on, you know, the sun sets, you know, it's going to get dark out. We're going to have to light it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I've got some, special lanterns, you know, we're big religious kind of people around here. So I would light these up. And then we talk next to, you know, the bonfire posts, crosses, and then we would discuss these things with him. Yes. Yes, that's how I would handle this.
Wouldn't be against the blacks. We would just try to talk them into being white.
So, exactly. So here's what I would wonder.
Yes, that is my brother Danny over there. Yes, that's exactly what we tried to do.
I carried the kerosene for the crosses.
So
here's what I would wonder.
Yes.
As a sex therapist, I have worked extensively with victims of trauma that have been abused or assaulted or raped or whatever.
We've sent many your way, yes.
Okay. So when that has occurred, I know that I can't work with the offenders.
Right. I'm sorry.
Although.
I apologize.
Okay, thank you. Although the offenders are just as likely to need help and therapy and counseling, I'm not the right person for that job.
Okay.
So what I'm asking you to think about is, with your stances and views, are you the right person to be the neighborhood watch for all citizens? Or is that better served for someone else who is maybe more open to lots of different types of people?
I literally live my life, ma'am, by one rule and one rule only.
Okay.
It's something my Uncle Adolf taught me.
Oh, Lord.
And he said that there's a large contingent of people in this world that, you know, they're bad people, okay? Some of these people wake up in the morning, they brush their teeth, they go to their jobs at the bank, they go to their jobs at the Taco Bell, they go to their jobs wherever, they work an 8-hour day, listening to some other trashy human being tell them what to do all day, making a pathetic wage. Those people need to be eradicated.
Yeah.
That's what Uncle Adolf told me. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They shouldn't be allowed to live their life whatsoever. So we need, listen, if we get rid of all those people, listen, if we just get rid of all the people but myself and Danny over here, then, you know, even like, you're a good person. I mean,
thanks.
Could you stand up for a second? Oh, yeah, you're a hot piece. You're white, too. That's good. You're
nice, fair skin.
We can get nice, fair skin. We keep you, but everybody else needs to go away. And but we could live in harmony between the three of us, you know?
All right.
But
question for you.
Are you sure?
No.
Man, I'm sorry. I got to get out of here. Okay. I just feel uncomfortable at this point. You're just making me feel weird, but thinking about my Uncle Adolf and stuff. All right, take care of yourself, man. Bye.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break.
That's the point where the police get
called. really?
When we come back, can we talk about maybe Uncle Adolf's issues with his small penis?
Oh, we can.
Hey. We can, and we're going to talk about the new people that like Dan Walsh.
Dan Walsh, you have a new section of the world that is a
you
huge
have a
fan,
new fan base
of the Polar Vortex. We will be back on the queue with Lindsay Walden right after this. The queue, of course. My name is Mark Bland, and I'm joined today by producer Bobby, as always, the Polar Vortex. Dan Walsh is in the building, as you've already heard. How you been doing, Dan?
Pretty well.
You're doing okay. I know that you're having somewhat of a rough week that you've been dealing with, but, you know, and by the way, our condolences, sir.
Not my favorite week.
Sure,
but
of course. Not the worst week ever.
Not awful, man. You just gotta keep on keeping on.
Keep on keeping on. That is what Dan Walsh wants you all to do. Also, we are joined today by Lindsay Walden, lindsaywalden.com, professional counselor as well as sex therapist. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
We really appreciate you coming on the show. So anyway, for anyone out there who's a part of the KKK, we're just having a little fun there. It's cool.
I just was wondering if someone tuned in at that moment and was listening and they're like, what is going on at 1380?
Man.
Therapy sessions with the KKK.
Yeah. What's going on, Bobby?
I was just going to say, when we went to the break there to go to the top of the hour, or were we at the top or the bottom?
We were at the top of the hour, yes.
The days are blurry.
We were
anyway,
within the hour.
Okay, so we teased the fact that Dan has a new fan base.
Yes,
and
yes.
I want to get to this because it's so awesome.
Now, Dan, make sure you're talking to the mic directly.
Okay,
I have a feeling this is going to be bad.
We all know that Dan has taken the Polar Vortex Tour to Botswana.
Yes, Botswana.
To Indonesia. To Czechoslovakia.
Is that how you say it?
You just say Czechoslovakia?
Czechoslovakia. Yeah.
Czechoslovakia! Yes, thank you. Yes, keep their consistency here. We have a nationally syndicated radio show here. We're trying to keep some consistency.
To
buddy.
Bolivia. He's gone to all these different places. But, Dan.
Yes.
Dan, you do have a new fan base.
Oh, it's beautiful, too.
And
you're going
to
love
like
this one.
You to we need say you hello
to your people.
To your new
your people.
Your people. In the People's Republic of China.
Yes, we are 5% of our fan base is in the People's Republic of China, and we've got to get the Polar Vortex Tour over.
Yes. So Chinese people like me?
Could you
least excited person about that
could
ever.
Could you please speak
to the Japanese, Chinese, the contingent of Southeast Asians over there.
Right. How many do we have there?
We have a few. We have 5% of our fan base.
So 5% over there is like roughly 24 billion people.
That's right. 24 billion people are listening to the Dan Wolf.
Give or take a billion.
And this isn't even the Real World Road Rules Challenge. You haven't even smacked Robin yet.
I never smacked Robin. Whatever.
You know what I mean.
There's probably some guys who are like, oh, very good. Smack the Robin in the face.
Dan. Cantonese, not Mandarin.
Yeah. That was Mandarin.
Was my dialect off?
Your dialect.
I apologize.
Yeah, speak. Go ahead, please. In that dialect, please speak to the people of the People's Republic of China, please.
People's Republic of China.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on completing your first aircraft carrier.
Oh, that's very nice.
You have very beautiful women.
Yes, they
and
do.
And very good food.
Oh, what kind of food do they have?
They love the noodles and the horrors.
Oh, yes, they do.
And then they come to America and fry it so that it makes the American fat.
Oh, what about who is a Chinese food fanatic?
I love Chinese food. Oh yeah.
What about you? You love it?
I've tried lots. I'm not a big fan of Oriental food in general. Yeah.
Okay.
I've tried lots of it, and I would love to like it, but I don't.
How can you not love crab rangoon right now? Like, that's all I'm
is
saying.
Is that really Chinese, or is that American Chinese?
That's probably American. It doesn't matter.
I need to order 4 noodles of butter noodle. I need 4 orders of crab rangoon. I need 2 chicken st. Paul. I need an egg for young. I need the hot braised chicken.
That's hilarious.
The Americans, I love the number 4.
We need 4 other human family.
4 other of the crab cake.
Crab
with
cake.
The warm center inside of it so that the reminder of them of their insides.
I remember being a kid and going to the Chinese restaurant and seeing on the menu, I freaked out and I told my mom we couldn't eat there because I thought it said human family.
Ah.
Could you imagine what they were thinking when Bobby walked in there? They were like, oh no, there's not enough food for you.
Mama, we make it a year today. We make it the whole year.
In my country, we only have a son because there's not enough food. And there's not enough food for Bobby.
I would almost love to find out. Like, listen, at some point.
I just like how we just did that stereotypical voice and we're going to lose 5%.
Listen, we need to get Vladimir to go with you over to the People's Republic of China so that you can have them discuss international politics at some point. We'll have to think about that.
With Vladimir?
Yeah, Vladimir and the Chinese consulate.
I think it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out.
I think it would go something like... Welcome, Mr. Putin. And he'd be like, where is this closest cheetah to scratch my nipples?
When we get the 3 of you over there, we'll put you guys in the Howard Johnson hotels because
I'll tell you about the Howard Johnson. I make a video of my Howard Johnson.
My goodness.
I rub my Howard Johnson in a number 4.
Oh, whoa. It got a little weird.
I make my own crab rangoon.
Got a little uncomfortable.
All right, so anyway, you are big. 5%. We, as the queue, and thank you to all the people.
How did you
link
that to just me? You guys should take credit for that.
Well, no, we just want to say thank you first off to everybody over in Southeast Asia, as well as People's Republic of China that do listen to the queue. We appreciate your patronage to the show. And please hit us up. Let us know that you guys are doing. Like,
what if it's just presented in a classroom and they're like, these are not how you're supposed to act.
Well, no. What happened was we got certain web analytics set up for the website. And so all of a sudden the web analytics start coming in. They're like, 60% of your audience is the United States, 20% is in Canada. Then you got this, then the other. And then it's like 5% is the People's Republic of China. And we're like, what? Why?
But the best part is it's all like part of North America, just a little bit into South America, and then the People's Republic of China.
Maybe that they're just listening because they think at some point Bobby's going to be like, I'm coming over there. And then they're going to be like, we literally will make all of our money for the whole year in one night.
Everybody get into the kitchen now. We make 400 number 4. Bobby.
You don't talk about the Order of the Samurai?
All right.
So let's don't like it, we kick him in the face.
All right. So we got Lindsay Walden here, the sex therapist.
Lindsay, I've got something for you.
I got something for you, sweetie.
Okay.
All right. Check this out. Are you having trouble finding true love? Dan, are you having trouble finding true love?
I don't have it yet.
Right.
I don't think it's like trouble.
Have you ever been in love? Have you ever been technically in love with someone to the point where, like, had things continued on, you would probably ended up marrying that individual?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's love. It's infatuation. Because here's my thing.
Well, no, true love. I mean, you would still marry the, like.
There ain't no such thing.
Okay,
dude.
Fine.
True love.
Is there such thing as true love, Lindsay?
I don't know. I think that not the way that a lot of people think. Like, I try and tell people the, and they live happily ever after doesn't really exist. Because you don't really see at the, like, the end of a romantic comedy or a fairy tale, like, 6 months later, or after they've had six kids and they haven't slept in, like, a decade. Or,
and you find out he's gay and all that.
Right, or any number of issues. And so what I try and remind people is, like, okay, so if you think of this idea of love as more of, like, okay, you have to make a concerted effort to keep it going and connected, then okay, maybe it exists, but not in the way that a lot of people think, like the fairy tale idea.
All right, fair enough. All right, I can go with that.
At some point, Cinderella looked at Prince Charming and was like, you're just a blood-sucking leech.
Yeah, right. I hate you.
It happened.
I hate you. I wish the pumpkin was still here.
You
this is
did
ridiculous.
This to me.
What's you so did
I wish, if I could go back, I would. I wish it would have changed at 11:30.
What's so funny is we've been doing this show for about an hour and a half, and my wife has already texted me about four times saying that.
Well, yeah, I'm telling you.
That's she wishes the pumpkin was back? She's probably calling you the pumpkin.
That's
you
hilarious.
Have a good, healthy, like, marriage in my book. I'm not the professional. But, like, if you don't argue, it means you don't care.
I agree.
Oh, no, me and my wife, we battle. Like, seriously, we battle hard. Like the ACLU and a Klans member. Like, we really go at it. Pretty rough.
Like Robert
Lee. Listeners, particularly those in the South, that all does right. not mean... Like battle.
Yeah, we love it. Okay, so here it is. Are you having trouble finding true love? Are you also a very smart person who knows this because you've taken a Mensa test for confirmation? Now you won't be alone in your big brain forever. Match.com is set to premiere a new service designed only for very smart people. The service, brilliantly named Mensa Match, will only allow people with IQs in the 98th percentile or higher in America to join. 80% of single rate intelligence as one of the most important factors when looking for a partner. Finally, proving that brain power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. Match.com president Amarnath Tambre said in a statement, partnering with Mensa now gives Match members another smart way to easily search for and connect with like-minded singles. An American Mensa marketing manager, Victoria Linguiz, also eloquently put it, you're looking for someone in the same tribe as you. You're asking, do you value intelligence as much as I do? May the many new couples find enjoy in their first sex. And if you're looking to rub roosters with another brain, you have until July 1st to take the test yourself for only $1. So if you are a brainiac.
Where and an elitist.
What was the website?
Or an elitist. Match.com. You go to Match.com.
It's probably going to be just a page filled with the most annoying people ever.
Do you feel, Lindsay, that, that you know, smarts plays a huge part when it comes to the attractions between individuals?
Yes, but you want to know something interesting?
Sure.
That what I have found, so Bobby was looking earlier on my website that I do work with like alternative sexuality and kink community and stuff like that. I have found that the, at least people that seek therapy from me, the more intelligent someone, the more likely they are to be into a lot more kinky out of the box stuff.
Yeah, okay, they are.
Wait a second. You brought something up, like
bondage and stuff?
You said something that's really interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
You brought up the kink society. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that there is LGBT, right?
Yeah.
And then there's a new one.
There's a new one?
That they've put on there. And it's supposed to
Hold on. It's LGBT, lesbian, gay,
or GLBT, either however you want to put it. But then there's a new one. It's
Glad.
Supposed to mean on the fence or thinking about it.
So like, bisexuals.
Questioning.
No question. Yeah, Q. Questioning.
I've heard it as much as LGBTQIATSTS.
Get out of here, you people. Stop it.
LMNOP.
Hold on. What is that an acronym for?
So you've got, I think, okay, the ones that are included, you've got lesbian, gay, bisexual. Sexual, transgender, pansexual, two-spirit, transsexual, questioning, queer.
Two-spirit? What's two-spirit?
Two-spirit is a Native American term for people who don't identify as traditionally male or female. It's somewhere of both.
I'm two-spirited.
You're just gay!
No. You're prince.
I'm two-spirited?
No,
it's the spirit of a lion.
In Native American culture, it's called two-spirit. There's a group in India.
In most culture, it's called weird.
Yeah.
No. There's a group in India that is actually called the Hira. I'm not saying if I'm saying it right. It's H-I-G-A-R-S, I think.
Something like that.
And they're actually a group of people that don't identify traditionally, that they consider themselves a third gender. And then there's also the Ladyboys of Thailand.
A third gender. Now, the Ladyboys of Thailand.
Yeah. Ladyboys of Thailand.
The Ladyboys of Thailand. That's for money.
But no, that's been in a lot of movies. Like, that was in The Hangover Part 2 or whatever. Yeah. The one where they went to
that
Bangkok.
Was the little kid. Yeah.
But here's my point. Like, to me, that's transsexual. Like, when you go down that road, like, either you've done it or you haven't done it. You know what I'm saying? You might be in the middle of between doing it or whatever. In their case, the Ladyboys are basically people who've decided to basically be cross-dressers. That's all it comes down to. They're just cross-dressers, technically.
But they still have their penises.
Yeah, and they don't identify that way. So,
of course, who cares what they identify as? Like, America, like, the word... I mean, come on now. Like, I understand that that's fine, but that's fine. We're not against gays or lesbians or bisexuals, transsexuals, or anything like that.
I think the pansexuals are getting out of control. I'm just going to say it right now.
We're having a very open conversation right now on our show about this.
Based upon what she said, what is the difference between gay and queer?
So it's interesting because queer at one point was considered almost like a derogatory
slander.
Term.
A slander.
There is a generation of kind of like, I would say like the under 25 crowd now that actually have like
they took it back.
Adopted it. Almost.
They took it back.
Like that rather than identifying as
like
any
Ginger
of,
should do with their hair. Take that back. Ginger.
Yeah. Is that a sexual group?
What was that?
Ginger a sexual group?
Gender?
No, ginger. Oh. You know, like gingers. No.
Like redheads.
That's funny.
We just call them redheads on our website.
It could be
that we
a
go
fetish,
to.
I guess. Or like
is there a Lindsay Walden XXX.com where it's just like your porno stuff that you put up there for everybody? Okay,
I
fair
wish.
Enough.
Right. To maybe lighten the mood in a bedroom between two married couples.
To do what?
Like put some crazy videos on there. Like, I don't know, Japanese OL lesbian, like the one that I accidentally found.
There you go.
When I accidentally purposely surfed the internet.
When you
accidentally purposely surfed the
sometimes
internet.
Sometimes our subconscious.
That's just what happens.
I'm a Freudian. I believe that maybe I meant to do that.
If anybody would like to know more about this, you can contact Lindsay at her website, lindsaywalden.com.
Okay, so anyway, we have all these different derivations that exist.
Yeah.
And your thing is that like, well, I care how they identify.
Yeah.
But the truth is that they all are just coming up. This is my personal, ladies and gentlemen, listening to the Q right now. I understand some of you are gay. Some of you are bisexual. Mm-hmm. Some of you guys are transsexual. Some of you guys are anal only.
Questioning.
You know, quadruple sexual.
You could be pansexual. You could be two-spirit and listen to my show. Mm-hmm. For all of you guys beyond the gay, lesbian, which is technically the same damn thing, okay? No disrespect. Bisexual, okay, I get that one. You're working with both fields. And then transsexual, which basically means you've taken the step and you want to like revert from or to whatever sexual part or organ feels best for you. Okay. Beyond those, everybody else just wants to identify with their own little... This is the island thing I was talking about. How everybody's got their own little island. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody wants to just identify with something, and they want to put themselves in a special little box. You're not special!
They want to be a sovereign sexual state.
Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not saying that you're not special people in general. You're human beings.
We
love you. We respect you.
Crap heads.
But you got... Here's the problem. The problem is you're not that special. So this whole two-spirit, no, you're just an Indian person who likes to have sex with other women. Stop it.
What makes them a different gender?
That's all there is to it.
Do they have another body part?
No, they're lions.
No. They're what?
They're lions. They're two-spirits.
Are they really?
I'm
human
and lion.
Well, it's a spiritual thing on some level, like the actual Native American component of it. It's, okay, I'm trying to think of the best way to explain it, because although I agree with Mark a little bit in the terms of there's a lot of sex therapists that think, okay, there's too many alphabets in the alphabet soup mix. That
it's not
like,
even that there's too many. It's the fact that you guys are going out of your way to find, like, questioning. Oh, I'm the Q.
Mm-hmm.
I'm questioning.
No, you're not. We the Q, baby.
That's a good point. But no, that's
and
like,
I'm pretty cool with just having sex with women.
But that's
like, I'm all right with that.
Good call.
I
want
to know where the H's are.
But you know what I'm saying? Like the people who are questioning whether they should or shouldn't, or they're on the fence or whatever, there's no. You don't get a determination. Either you're all in or you're all out, man. Come on.
Too many shades of gray.
If you're questioning, then right now, technically. Hey, listen, here it is. Here it is. The person who's questioning, okay? Maybe they're just the one who hasn't taken a step yet, but eventually they're going to do something with a guy and they're going to do something with a girl. At that moment, they're bisexual.
The way I see it is
and
the
either
minute
they go all one way
mouth.
Or the other way. Like, there is no this, oh, but no, but I'm questioning, because while all of my GLBT friends who are legitimately gay or bisexual or transsexual or whatever are hanging around each other, I'm just their best friend who used to be called the fag hag. Now I'm not the fag hag anymore. I'm just the questioning one because I have to feel identified with the group. You don't, because that's not who you are. You know what you are? You're just straight. Until you take the step, you're just straight. So deal with being straight.
Who's the guy that, like, he's the straight one that hangs out with all the gay guys, and at the end of the night when the heterosexual females are in a club and they've gone the whole night because they went there because they didn't want to get hit on, but then they're kind of looking for some action, and then all your gay friends start calling you Straight Dan, and then all those the women come in, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. What am
straight
I called?
Straight Dan?
Yeah, that's they funny. Do that to
they
me.
They call you Straight Dan?
And it, yeah, and I was like, why do you call me Straight Dan? And he literally looked at me and said, shut up, man. You're about to shoot fish in a barrel.
Yeah, you're going to shoot so many fish in a barrel. That's you funny. Just need to keep your mouth shut, Daniel.
Well, okay, so can I kind of disagree with you?
Sure, but, go for it. Yeah, okay. Of course you can disagree with me. That's the beauty of the cue. Well, we give you the ability to
America.
Say whatever you want.
Right.
Go.
Right.
America.
So, I am very much, and this is not how everybody feels that works in the profession that I work in, because there are people
are
on
you
both
hetero,
sides of the fence.
Gay, bi, or any of those?
I am heteroflexible.
You're heteroflexible.
What's that mean?
What does that mean?
I got to go out of the room. I know what that means.
It sounds really hot.
I learned this term like probably like 2 or 3 years ago, actually through FetLife.com. It's the kinky website that people join. So I have always been in male-female relationships.
Okay.
I've always, you know, I was married for a number of years.
Sure.
And I'm like, you know, I've never been with a female, but I was able to, in some of my trainings, to identify to what extent or what level I might would find a female attractive or willing to go there, but it's not something that I am actively seeking.
That's just called life.
Hey, hold
that's
on,
what
stop.
That is. That's just you.
That's called being open-minded.
Yeah, being open-minded.
That's why heteroflexible.
But you don't need to be called that. Just say I'm open-minded.
I kind of like that.
Also, I'm saying it because it's kind of fun. But
yeah, exactly. Like everybody wants to identify with some type of tag so that they can say what they are.
Well, that's what
I'm trying to listen to Lindsay and find out where her...
Can we all vote that we like Lindsay calling herself heteroflexible?
We can go with that. I'm down.
Okay, awesome.
I might be getting divorced tomorrow.
Oh, Lord. Oh. They all adopted it on Randy's show on the Evening World the other night. They were like, we're all heteroflexible. They called me to find out what the term was because they couldn't remember it. So, anyways,
we're going to call ourselves this, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, right. They're like, Lindsay had this great term. Wait, let's call it. We don't know what it was.
Which, by the way, for everybody out there who's trying to figure it out, metrosexual, actually, they just deem that term doesn't exist anymore. It's a new term. Like, this was within the last couple of weeks. I read a small article where they basically said everything that had to do with metrosexual has now been kind of diluted based off of what it was supposed to be versus what it is now. And so those people don't necessarily, who we think of as metrosexuals, aren't technically identified as metrosexuals. You're metrosexuals!
Are you talking about the word spornosexual?
Yes!
Okay.
That's awesome. That confuses me.
Please explain.
Okay, so...
This is how effed up the United States of America is and the people that live here.
I will agree with you that I do think there are too many labels. And I have people all the time that I'm like, I don't care if you call yourself gay, lesbian, straight, a hybrid of all of those, a purple monkey in the sky. I don't care what you call yourself. You can call yourself a pirate if you want to. If you're happy with what you're doing and you're trying to figure out what you want to do with your life and you're good with what you're doing, I got no issue with it. Seriously.
I'm just upset that everyone's forgetting about the hermaphrodites in all of the situation.
They're transgender. Oh, no.
No,
not
bro.
Necessarily. No, we haven't forgotten about that. That's intersex, where they're born with both male and female parts.
That's called intersex?
That isn't pansexual. What's pansexual?
That's the I in the LGBTQI. That's the intersex. A is allies, by the way.
Allies?
Lindsay. Like Russia and Germany?
Yeah, kinda.
Vladimir Putin and the Pope
Hitler
in China?
Pansexual? I'm not confused.
Pan?
Yeah.
Okay, so
they
depending...
like cooking?
No.
Yeah, I wish. So pansexual, depending on how you're looking at it and who you're talking to, most of the time it is defined as someone who does not see gender as the defining characteristic. They are attracted to someone's spirit and or essence.
So this is how ugly people get married. That's really what it comes down to. That's how, you're not really all that sexually attractive to me, but we love that World of Warcraft, baby. So you know what? We get married.
That's why twos and
threes get wet. Would say that he was sexually evolved, so he never seeked gender. It was just...
Who was this?
Yes.
Freddie Mercury.
Lead singer. I've heard that.
Oh,
he said he was sexually evolved. He didn't look for men or women. It was the connection.
So yeah. I know
fair enough. I can understand the connection, but he's a good looking dude.
That we're talking about the other champions. So.
Well, and I know that you said we don't have a whole lot of time, so I may have to save my disagreement for like the next segment.
No,
but,
that's fine. That's fine. Actually, you know what? That's going to work out perfectly for us because we've got some business to take care of right now.
Okay.
So, cool. Hey, by the way, check out lindsaywalden.com. That's LindsayWalden.com. LindsayWalden.com. Professional guidance counselor and sexual therapist who's joined us today on The Q. Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com. And Bobby, Tarzan. Are you going to Tarzan?
I am going to Tarzan at the Muni, sponsored by U.S. Bank.
And we got a pair of tickets to give away, do we not?
We do have a pair of tickets to give away to Tarzan, as well as we're going to have some other tickets to give away to some other shows here at the Muni. But Tarzan runs from June 25th to July 2nd, starting June 25th, all performances are at 8 p.m. featuring music and lyrics by Phil Collins.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you get a chance, check out themuni.com for more information about all the great shows coming up at the Muni. We're going to take a quick break here on The Q. If you get a chance, check out our website, theqnow.com. And we will be back with Lindsay Walden, producer Bobby, and Dan Walsh right after this. To The Q, of course. Mark Bland joined today with Lindsay Walden, lindsaywalden.com, professional sex therapist, as well as producer Bobby, Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, and the new king of the Republic of China. So there is that going on. Viva La Raza!
That's going like to be say. Awesome.
La República de China.
Oh, wait. La Raza? That's Chinese, right?
How did we talk about the Republic of China in every language other than Mandarin?
Well, you did Cantonese. That was really good of you. We were sitting here talking with Lindsay Walden here on the show. And by the way, you're listening to us on 1380 The X and 1380TheX.com, as well as 1420 WINI worldwide at theqnow.com. We're talking to Lindsay Walden about different tags that people have put on themselves in the sexual universe.
Yeah.
And I said some things that Lindsay disagreed with because I said that it's all bull crap. They shouldn't do this. It's just their way of trying to like create an identification because everybody has to be their own island. Nobody can ever say anything bad. Oh, you can't say that I'm questioning. You can't say that I'm not questioning. I'm questioning. And if you say that I'm not questioning, you're my enemy. And immediately, we're not friends no more. So therefore, you're bad. And I'm not going to like talk to you when we're at the Pride Fest. That's not going to happen.
When we're at the Pride Fest.
The Pride Fest. So anyway, Lindsay, you disagreed with that. And I would love to hear what you have to say.
Okay. So I kind of credit this with my, I guess, beginning as wanting to be a sex therapist. So Alfred Kinsey is from, I think, the University of Indiana. But anyways, he was doing his research in Indiana when Masters and Johnson was doing a lot of their research in St. Louis. And one of the things that he kind of postulated, which was really like, whoa.
Is Kinseyan the same guy who does Kinseyan economics?
No.
Oh, wait. There might be. Okay, keep going.
Alfred Kinsey?
I'll figure it out.
Okay. So what he came up with in his kind of like questioning of people about, you know, what their sexuality is and how they identify was this idea of the scales of sexual fluidity, which basically state that on one end of an extreme, if you imagine like this, you know, like an infinite line, you know, like you remember like your math days, like lines go on forever, that on like one end of the spectrum, you've got like 100% heterosexual. On the other end of the spectrum, you've got 100% homosexual. And I'm kind of paraphrasing how he explains it, but just to kind of make it make sense on the radio. And the idea is that no one is really truly born at one extreme or the other, but that you're going to be born somewhere in between the two. But a lot of times it is a clear delineation that someone is like, okay, you know, pretty close to the end of the line, but you know, maybe there's, I don't know, some thought or fantasy they've had before.
Let's go down this road. Let's go down this road for a second.
Okay.
Are gay people, okay, straight up question, the gay thing.
Yeah.
Homosexuals.
Yeah.
Had Ed Reggie on my show. Ed's a really good friend of mine. We used to act and stuff together. Ed's basically the leading gay advocate for the city of St. Louis.
Okay.
By far. Like everyone in the town knows him. Mm-hmm. He runs Channel 9's public access stuff. Like he is the dude when it comes to homosexuals in the St. Louis area.
Not, they don't get any gayer
He don't
than
speak
him.
On behalf of all of them, but sure. He is a head advocate and probably one of the first people that all the news stations are going to go to if something bad ever happened.
Okay.
Now, love myself some gayness.
Okay.
Not going to lie. Love myself awesome. Some gayness.
They'll be glad to know, right?
That is such a weird way to start this.
Yes, it is. But okay.
No, no, it's not weird. Gayness. No, it's not. Love that gayness.
Let's love just it, man.
All just up in that gayness.
Is it a situation where you are born into it, or is it a choice?
What do I believe? Or
what do you believe, and where has your teachings led you?
I believe, and my teachings have led me, that it is primarily like 99% of the time, born that way. There are some people that I do think choose it, but I think that a lot of that has to do with if you weren't already maybe on that spectrum somewhere closer to the middle or kind of that questioning area, you probably wouldn't choose it. Because now, I have definitely worked with people that have said, I worked with a guy that was like, people kept asking me if I was gay, and I thought maybe I was, so I really tried to be gay, and couldn't do it, man. I would like watch gay porn and nothing. Or I would try and go to a gay bar and nothing. And I'm like, okay, so you know, you are what you say you are. So if you say you're not gay, okay, fine, you're not gay.
I had a friend of mine, very good friend. We are no longer close by any means. Many years had parted between us.
Yeah.
We've talked about this on the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Please stop. Please stop. No, because this is a serious story. Serious story. I'm not going to say his name, but this individual, I come about 4 years into our friendship and find out that he is homosexual.
Okay.
Which explained why certain things, we kind of worked in radio together, and that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say. But this individual, I find out he's gay, and then life moves on. He really thought it was going to be a big, like, traumatizing thing for our relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't. I was cool with it. I'm what they call open-minded. Figure out a tag for me. Now,
OM.
OM, open-minded. And so, like, we were cool with that. Years go by. Of course, we're best friends. He spent the night over at my house, hung out with me, like become personal friends of my family. Like Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, he's there on Christmas morning while I'm opening gifts type thing. Like,
yeah.
Really good friends. And so like then a few years goes by and we kind of part ways because me and my wife get married and have children and life moves on in that direction and schedules just don't line up. We don't see each other for a long time. And then all of a sudden, in a weird situation, and I don't want to get too detailed about this, but things just changed. And all of a sudden, I'm not gay anymore. Don't talk to me about gay anymore. All that is in my past. He found Jesus. It's all about Jesus and God now. And it was such a radical, and I mean physically radical change that I really had a lot of time grasping onto it because I was like, I'm a really open-minded individual. And I'm like looking at the situation going, bro, like you can't deny that you did these things and this is a part of your past at all. You're going to try to shut it out and act as if it doesn't exist. And by the way, while you're throwing all that away, you're throwing our friendship and our history away too. Because you're just trying to like shut this entire decade out or two decades or whatever out of your mind. And like it really became a problem to the point where we are no longer like on speaking terms at all. Like he shut the door on me and doesn't want to talk to me. And I'm very open-minded. Like if he came to me tomorrow and was like, I want to talk to you, I'd be like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
What's up? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For him though, complete shutout.
Right.
But I don't, and that's where my question comes because it's like, are you born it or do you choose it?
So, okay. So here's what I want you to think about. So in addition to the scales of sexual fluidity,
Is Dan gay for wearing that shirt?
I like that shirt.
Dan is very not gay for that shirt.
Well, maybe he is. You're not gay, maybe so you're he good. Is. Are you spornosexual?
Are you spornosexual?
No.
What's a spornosexual? No, before you,
Dan
before
is
you
metrosexual.
Answer, before you answer my question, we talked about spornosexual and metrosexual. Yeah. Metrosexual is determined nowadays, defined as what?
Oh,
probably a person who likes to take care of their looks and grooming,
yeah,
works
like,
out.
Smells good. Wears nice clothes.
More like a heterosexual who likes to like make sure to manicure themselves. Almost like a high-end gay
like
person.
Like queer eye for a straight guy kind of idea. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, now what's pornosexual?
So,
we're going to determine what you are, Dan. Hold on.
According to this article, which I think is hilarious, I saw it the other day, the guy, Mark Simpson, that coined the term metrosexual 20 years ago, has now said that the idea of the metrosexual is no longer the cool thing.
Right.
That although he just wrote about it in 1994 about this idea of, you know, in GQ magazine saying metrosexual, it used to be defined as a single young man with high disposable income living or working in the city because, quote unquote, that's where the best shops are.
Sure.
And is perhaps the most promising consumer market of the decade. This is what he predicted.
Okay.
So now he's saying
that. And a lot of that did come true, actually, in many major cities.
Sure. So now he's saying that, of course, this is what it was, and now it's kind of been like it's used up. It's done and been done. It's like, you know, you get sick of that one term or you get sick of that one.
Game off metrosexual.
Okay, game off metrosexual.
Exactly. And so now he says that
Spornosexual.
Spornosexual is they're the quote-unquote yummy guys that...
Yummy guys.
That's what it says.
Okay,
Dan Walsh.
Men in the UK are...
Is he a cannibal?
No.
I don't know, right?
Maybe it's just another word for gummy and sexual uses of gummy bears.
Right, okay, yeah, I don't know. And so it talks about that, you know, these are the people who are going to be the first to, follow a trend. And a lot of times we see them originating in the United Kingdom. And
Dan's not a trend guy like that. Yeah. I'll be the first to say he doesn't follow trends. I think Dan falls more into the actual metrosexual background.
I create the trends.
I create the trends
by just not
He's what we call
being
a setter
in
the trend world.
He's what we call a seterosexual.
I'm in that don't care a
That's
sexual.
Awesome.
That's what I am.
Well, so what he says is that at the end of the 20th century, the abolition of the laws discriminating against homosexuality allowed for a certain dominance of men to feel more comfortable showing their non-rugged side. So like showing the more like I can
now,
be
Now, Dan is a sensitive dude. He does show his sensitive side at times. Not all the time.
Rugged.
I wouldn't say all the time.
Sure.
He's a manly man. I'm going to be the first. I mean, this is a United States Marine.
I lift heavy stuff.
Yeah, he lift heavy stuff.
I just love how modest Dan is while he's sitting there.
I'm being very gentlemanly right now.
So
yes,
here's what I love is that he says, I have only two words to illustrate this. David Beckham, which I think is hilarious, but I think it actually proves a point because I do think that he is somebody that a lot of
people would consider a metrosexual,
right? And that they would say he's very like not just well kempt, but it's like he is somebody that if he wears something, a lot of people will adopt what he's wearing.
Or right,
he's,
but
he has
you,
a cologne. You,
you
want to smell
who
like
lives him. Off of 20th and Locust? Guess what? We're not following anything you're wearing. Okay, you
Locust.
Can go buy whatever you want and spend all the money in the world. We don't know who you are, and we're not buying your stuff that you're wearing. So guess what? You're not David Beckham.
All those dudes over there off of Nebraska, you should calm down, bruh.
That's a little ghetto over there, bro. Oh, you mean Nebraska, the state?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Gays love Dan Walsh.
At one point, used to...
Gays love Dan
that's
Walsh.
That's hilarious. At one point, like tattoos and things that maybe were considered more rugged are now actually considered to be more in the realm of metrosexuality if they are on a chiseled body, according to this guy.
Oh, why are they going to be chiseled?
Yeah, I know, right?
That's a chiseled body right there.
It says also that this new wave of sexual into metrosexuality has allowed us to
develop... There's a lot to this damn definition.
I just like hearing Lindsay talk about me. Okay, awesome.
has allowed us to
come up with this new term that... is spornosexual. So the idea is it's a sporty person that looks like he could fall out of a porn movie.
Oh, that's so you, dude.
Jesus, oh my goodness.
That's almost the definition of Dan directly. It's like, hey, can we get a really hot guy who's got a great tan and some biceps and everything to get over here and fluff this other person?
That's
and then
hilarious.
They're like, here's Dan. So Dan walks in and he looks like, and then all of a sudden he's like, hey, guys, I'm going to go hit the gym, play a little round of basketball, maybe throw some things. I'm really sporty, so I'll see you later.
I can't tell you how many times I look in the mirror in the morning and I'm like, God, man, I just look like I fell out of porno.
Right. And you're sporty, so it's a spornosexual.
Dan's getting all new material for his stand-up special right now.
I'm going to let everybody know the next time I'm on stage. Listen, I figured out a lot about myself. I fell out of a porno. That's why I look like this.
That's awesome. You can now identify yourself. Hi, I'm Dan Walsh, a spornosexual.
All right,
How about a pornosexual? Because I look like I fell out.
Now here's the thing. Now, let's get back to my gay question.
Okay,
so
Oh, I forgot we were.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, I don't know how
I'm
much
I'm staying
of a,
on top of the show that we run. Thanks.
When you
thanks
talk for being about a part Dan of the Walsh producer, Bobby. Time,
yeah, right. I got other stuff, bro.
I don't know how much of a, like, you want me to just go with it because, ooh, I can talk about conversion therapy a lot.
No, we don't need to go into detail. Just give us a brush against.
Okay. So the idea of what your friend, I think, went through, and based on what I'm understanding, is the term called conversion therapy, which basically it's been termed at times like pray the gay away, or you've heard them maybe called straight camps.
Ray the gay away.
No, yeah. No,
I just watched I'm a Cheerleader today, and that whole movie is about a camp that is converting gay kids to straight kids.
But so, there's a church down in Louisiana.
There's a, yeah.
Where they
Monroe, Louisiana, to be exact.
Probably.
Monroe, where do you go to church, by the way? No, there's a church down in Louisiana where they will have gay exorcisms.
What?
Where that needs to be the documentary that they film tomorrow.
They're that's like,
it's gay exorcism.
Come here, my child. I need to get the fabulousness out of
you. Yeah, right. So here's the thing with it is that although, I mean, really up until the 1950s, homosexuality was considered a mental disorder in the diagnostic manual.
Yeah,
and it's no longer been there since the 50s. And there's been huge strides to like change social awareness and things like that. However, being a therapist, and I was telling Bobby this at the break, that I've taken an oath to do no harm. The literally, like, every major governing board of, like, you want to say social workers, counselors, school counselors, you know, every medical board out there has said that not only does conversion therapy not work, but it is not only not positive in terms of
it's
working.
It's probably really bad for the people in general. Yeah.
And there's a group called Exodus International that actually used to be the very big proponents of conversion therapy. And they've actually, the head guy of it that used to be like, you know, you're gay and you're going to hell and all of these things, has come out and apologized for any harm that he has caused any individuals based on his understanding.
Is he the guy?
Wait.
Exodus International. Is that the guy who was in the Sacha Baron Cohen film? The one where he plays Borat. The other one,
Bruno.
Bruno. Where he goes to the guy who used to. I think it's the Exodus International dude.
Yeah, because
he's got the poster that says Exodus on the top of it. Yeah.
He told him
that was
DSLs.
In the movie Bruno. We think. Yeah,
because
Bruno
was all
because that's gay, how educated we are. We throw movie references.
Yeah, we're real super gay.
Isn't that
flapping
movie?
All over the place? Okay, so here's what we're gonna do.
Yes,
Bobby. I know you have something you want to talk about really badly. I'm sorry. We're gonna have to cut it. You know why?
Jeez.
We've got letters from the listeners, and I got to get one on the live show so that everybody can hear our friend Lindsay.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am.
So, as a therapist, I not only cannot condone therapy that harms people, but the idea behind gay conversion therapy is not about changing orientation as much as it is about behavior. But they're calling it one thing, but it's really another, if that makes sense. Because I can have somebody in my office that says, I think I'm gay, but I don't want to act on this because of the fact that it goes against who I feel like I should be at my core or whatever. Okay, that's fine. We can work on that. But I am never going to tell anybody that they have to change their orientation because that is something I do believe you're born with.
Yeah, he's totally taken the bull by the horns and ran with this one. So, if things pan out for our friendship, so be it. If not, I understand. Yeah. I'm just going to move on with life.
I changed the orientation all right. A lot.
Mark, I have one quick question.
Yes.
Lindsay, would you be objected? Objected?
Objective.
I made
would
that
you
up.
Be, would you objective? Objective?
Yeah. Yes. Would you be objective?
Yeah, maybe.
I think I should get a therapy session from Lindsay.
Yes.
On my issues that we've talked about as far as in love.
Lindsay, I just want to listen. It's me, Dan. Okay.
Because she's a professional.
Yeah.
I'm here.
I know you're being serious. I understand that. And it's going to go down something like this. I have this problem, Lindsay. I have these dreams about going to a sex therapist's office, just like in the porns that I fall out of, and having sex with her. So I'm here to talk to you about this, and let's see where this leads. You know what I'm saying?
I have done a lot of on-air therapy now. I've therapized Nick Trupiano.
Okay,
Here's what we'll do.
We have overtime coming up. Mm-hmm. I think that this would be a great place for on overtime. In overtime, we will have Dan and Mark and producer Bobby will play like median.
Okay.
And then we'll have Dan and Lindsay. We will let them like have their little session for just a few minutes.
I want to figure out what's wrong with me.
We're not going to figure out what's wrong, but we're going to have her diagnose you a little bit.
We're going to have Dan Walsh. I'm not enough time to do the entire thing.
How's that?
Yeah, psychoanalyze Dan Walsh on overtime. By the way, to get overtime, you have to download it from theqnow.com. It's at the end of the full show. So as soon as the main show on the live stations goes off, You can go to the internet. You can download it from our website, and then you just listen through the credits at the end, and then the new music starts up, and that's overtime, and that's where we kind of loosen up.
And you're going to get to hear how screwed up Dan Walsh is.
You're going to get to hear how screwed up. Okay, now, so letters from the listeners, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Yes.
I get letters from the listeners every single week. We usually do these on overtime, but I want to do one here live. We only got a few minutes left in the show, so
all right.
I got a good one for you.
Okay.
Mark, Dan, and Bobby.
Yes.
I recently went with my wife to a sex store in the hopes of spicing up our sex lives. I picked out a couple of videos and some toys, and then I went to find my wife. She was in a room trying on full-size strap-ons. I asked what she was doing, and she said, something to spice up our relationship. So now I am worried because the strap-on can only be used in one scenario, and I'm not down for that. Should I be worried, and how do I broach this subject? She has already purchased the strap-on. So there we are.
Okay. So I
Megan's got a strap-on with your name in it.
Divorce court!
So I definitely am all for the use of, like, I have Toy Bucks Tuesday on my show, and it's like we talk about sex toys and the incorporation of them.
This dude is finding out at the sex store as she makes the $70 purchase that this is going to be implemented in their sex life.
This is just going to be rammed.
Right. So what I like to tell people is that first of all, if you're going to be doing anything, quote unquote, to spice things up that is really outside of any of the typical ordinary things that you've done to this point, you need to talk about them in a non-sexual setting first. So
they just need to open up to each other and they need to be honest, and you can't just force this person. And before this even goes anywhere else, they need to basically talk about
it. So it should kind of go like this.
Dan, how would you handle this situation?
We're at dinner together, and my wife looks at me
and goes...
There'd
be some words exchanged in that shop, and everyone would know about our problem. I'd be like, you are not putting that in my ass.
Okay.
So we're sitting down at dinner. The wife looks over and goes, I'm going to ram a purple dildo in your ass tonight.
What?
Oh, my goodness. You can't say that on the show.
You can't put the whole part in there.
Yeah.
I'm open up to a lot of things, but that one's too far because that's physically harmful.
Well,
that's my intestines that you could rupture and kill me.
Well, so it's interesting because we talked about this on my show earlier this week, in the sense that if you're going to do any type of play anally, I don't care if it's female or male that is the receiver of this. Uh-huh. You first of all want to be very careful that you work up to whatever you're doing. And in the moment, if somebody says, no, I'll stop, then stop. And the other thing is that you want to use lots of relaxation and ways to kind of lubricate. Yes, because I mean, there's actually, you can create anal tears and you can create all kinds of issues and infections.
We've talked about on overtime when it's like for Mark to get surgeries in certain spots of their body that should never have scissors near it. And guess what? I can only imagine what the anal tear would feel like. That's all I'm going to say.
When Lindsay says the word anal, it doesn't sound so yucky.
Good call.
No, it still sounds terrifying.
It doesn't
to me.
Sound yucky. You know, no, she's
anal
great.
Tear. There's nothing. I don't care who said it. Lindsay, nothing against you. You have a beautiful voice. But
thanks.
If an angel ascended upon the sky and said anal tear,
fell
I'd
out
be
of
like,
the porno. If an angel fell out of the porno.
In one of my pornos, slightly before I fell out.
Right. Said before anal you fell out, right?
Right before.
I would say, no anal tear over here.
Yeah.
You don't pay enough.
No. What would be our letter designation? If we got GLBT, all those other, it would be no anal tear. So NAT?
Yeah,
NAT? The Nats?
We like the Nats.
Yeah.
Dan is no Nat.
Dan Moss is Nat.
He's Nat, baby.
Well, and I think that, the listener brings up a really good question, though, of like, so the definitions of what it means to be spiced up can be very different from person to person. And so I oftentimes tell people, you want to be as specific and concise as you can be, but you want to be mindful of what the other person is thinking and feeling.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's almost time for us to get out of here on the queue. Yeah, man.
This
it's late,
awesome.
Bro. It's late in the show. I know. The sex talk. We got overtime coming up. Go to theqnow.com. Download the main show. We throw overtime on the end of it so we can be a little bit racy. We're going to have Lindsay Walden.
I can say dirty words.
Dirty words.
You can. Awesome.
LindsayWalden.com is her website. Thank you first off so much for coming
Thank
on our
you.
Show
this
today.
Awesome.
We really appreciate it. We're going to have Lindsay psychoanalyze Dan Walsh, the Polar Vortex, in overtime. You can't miss this.
With dirty words.
That's right.
That's going to happen. Also, don't forget to check out all kinds of great things at themuni.com. They got a lot of great shows coming up this season. And Tarzan coming up right here, right around the corner. Also, I want to say thanks to WINI 1420 and 1380 The X for playing our show every single week. RazorSharpDigital.com for all your digital marketing needs. SEM, SEO, make sure you check out RazorSharpDigital.com. Also, check out old episodes and everything about our show at theqnow.com. That's where you can find out about myself, producer Bobby, a little bit about Dan. As well as we got the new show with Lindsay Walden that's up there. And Overtime Cycle Analyzing Dan Walsh. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. To all of our 5% of people overseas in China.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, that's what I like.
We're about to talk a sexy talk.
It's going to happen.
Overtime. We'll see you next time on The Cure.
Chose me, so I hit the track running like a nosebleed.
Hey, yo, Jace.
Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah.
Say something to her. Holla at her.
I got one question. How'd you fit all that in them jeans?
You know what to do with that big fat butt.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Overtime. Mark Bland, Lindsay Walden, producer Bobby, as well as the Polar Vortex, Dan Walsh. Mm-hmm. It's the little extra that we like to throw on the backside of this. What's going on, Bobby?
What's up? All right, you started to fade down, but we have to go back to this song for 1 second because the lyrical genius... That is Jason Derulo.
Yes, Jason Derulo.
The
Jace.
The greatest line ever in a song. Let me get to this real quick.
Okay, you got it.
Right here. Hold on.
Fat butt.
Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle.
I'm wiggle, missing wiggle, something. Wiggle.
Just a little bit.
Here we go.
Right here.
Patty cake with no hands.
Greatest line in the song ever.
Are you...
That song makes me feel dumber for listening.
Are you serious, man?
More dumb.
We re-listened to all of that for him to say, greatest line ever, patty cake with no hands. It's awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
I just want to know.
Lindsay might become an official member of the queue at some point down the road. Bobby. This has just literally changed all of that. She'll never talk to us again. Because you've ruined it with that.
Who has?
Well, I just want to know. Patty cake thing? I just want to know who sat there and said, Jason, that is the best part of the whole song.
Someone
you need to keep the patty cake in there, bro.
You got to keep the patty cake with no hands in the song.
I guarantee you, had weed in his pocket.
You know what, the best line ever in a song, it's the worst song ever, but it's the Angelina girl from the Jersey Shore that left the show the first episode or something. She has a line in her song that says, I'm hot, like an ice cream cone with a cherry on top. Ice cream is not hot.
By no means whatsoever.
Listen,
and that's what's so funny.
Dan, what is the mentality of the MTV people as they create this song?
Isn't it funny?
Let's find the dumbest shit possible.
I mean, it's like Ice Cream Sunday or something.
Americans will love it because it requires them to not think.
The first time I heard it, I'm like, did she just say she's hot like an ice cream cone with a cherry on top? Is this it?
This is the song. It's called I'm Hot featuring Andy Steen.
Hey, guys.
This shit is fucking horrible.
Yeah, man.
Angelina turns it on, party till the break of dawn. All the freaking light shines strong, blast the music all night long.
Take it in the butt right now.
Living like there is no end. It's Angelina.
Oh, it's Angelina.
You never seen her.
Oh my God! I'm done with. Did
he just say? Did he just say?
I'm sure it's in there.
We know it's in there. We can tell from just the words we did here.
Mm-hmm. I just found my favorite line because as you started to tone it down, he goes, "She used to pee the bed."
No,
and then
you
cut it off.
I think she used to be the girl.
Oh, I thought he said she used to be the girl. The bed.
I think she used to be the girl.
She used to be the girl.
Yeah. Not pee the bed. Although that
they need to change it.
All right.
Maybe that's why the ice cream is hot. I don't know.
Well, ladies, I just love that somebody actually sits there with these people and goes, That's genius. We're going to sell a million records with that.
Right. All right. I'm sure they sold some copies. I mean, yeah.
Here's the deal. We announced on the main show that Lindsay stuck around to join us on Overtime today, and we really appreciate her. LindsayWalden.com is her website. Check it out. If you have any questions, if you need a counselor in your life, she would be a perfect person to contact and discuss things with. LindsayWalden.com. Now, we discussed on the radio show that Dan, the polar vortex, walking reality, flying reality, huge in Latvia, Czechoslovakia, Georgia.
Where is he?
Botswana.
Now he's big in the People's Republic of China. They love the number four. As we figured, 4 billion Chinese people can't be wrong. They can't be wrong. That's just awesome. Like McDonald's hamburgers. Mm-hmm. And Dan, though, he felt that he needed to bring up on the live show that he's had quite a bit of dealings within his own life that he is unsure of. And he felt it would be interesting to have Lindsay kind of analyze him.
Sure.
So we decided to
do it. I'll therapize you. How's that?
Therapize her on the fucking overtime.
Therapize and that is what's going
to
happen. Me,
we are going to therapize.
Dan, stop it.
This son of a bitch is getting therapized right now.
You therapize the shit out of me.
Just make sure your therapizing doesn't cause anal tears.
What we want to do is me and producer Bobby.
I'll be gentle.
Producer Bobby, we're going to play. We're not going to go real long here, but we're going to play mediums.
So then give me an idea of how long I've got, because I want to make sure that I don't go like to a place that I can't.
Let's just do about 10 minutes. We'll just do about 10 minutes here.
All right, so like a short
ain't
going to
figure out shit.
Oh, no. You'd be amazed at how much people can figure out in a short amount of time. So what we're going
to
do is we're going
to maybe we'll have to do it like if I come back. We'll do like a part two.
Yeah, we can do a part two and stuff like that. I think that's a great idea. Okay, so Lindsay, you go ahead and start doing your thing. Me and Bobby will just chime in when we need to or if we need to. And Dan, please be respectful of our friend Lindsay here and answer any and all questions she has.
Because we know you are. As honest as you can be, sweetheart.
Which, by the way, I did get a Facebook message today from a certain individual going, "Hey, so I guess people don't like me."
Oh, Craze?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I talked to him about it.
Oh, okay. Never mind. That was stupid on your part because we wouldn't. Never mind. All right. Here we go.
All right. So you said you want to be therapized or whatever that means. Mm-hmm. I kind of like to use therapy as a verb. So in this short amount of time that we have, what would be, I guess, when you think about it and you're like, okay, this is the one thing that I want to bring up first?
I cannot be in a committed relationship.
You can't speak in one?
I can't be in one.
You can't be in one.
Yeah. I'm not by any means a slut, but I don't like whenever
when was the last time you were in a committed relationship?
Oh God, probably 5 years ago.
Okay.
All right. How old are you now?
31.
Okay. I'm terrible at guessing ages. So sorry. I was just curious. Okay.
That's okay. I'm just never, if I'm in a relationship and I start to like somebody immediately sexually, I shut down. I'm just not in the mood to, or I don't want to, or I feel awkward.
Yeah. So go back to before you get connected to, or, you know, like you feel as though you have a connection with them and you like, you know, before that, you're good sexually.
Oh yeah.
Perform, enjoy it, like it.
I love sex.
Okay. So what I would wonder is in that moment or moments when you kind of transition from, yeah, we're just kind of hooking up, hanging out, whatever, to, you know, I kind of like you. Mm-hmm. What changes for you?
I guess I get more emotionally attached to them, and I enjoy talking to them, and I enjoy spending more time with them, and I get to know them.
Yeah.
And then that's what's weird. After that, it just starts to kind of go away.
So
I was just going to say, people always talk about this serotonin level. Is there, when this stuff happens, when Dan is going from this feeling to this feeling, is there a fluctuation in that? And could that be
possibly? I don't know that we're talking about the same thing.
Oh, never mind.
Just let her do her thing.
It could be. Well, so okay, hold that thought. Maybe like as an after question, because I'm not sure if I quite understand. But okay.
Is your name Dan? Stay out of it.
Yeah. So
I'm moderating.
What I wonder is, have you ever thought about when, like you said, I like to talk to them, or maybe like I care how their day is, or I want them to care how my day is, that kind of thing. When it's just kind of random or you're hooking up or it's not serious, there's not a whole lot riding on it. Like, there's no expectations. There's no, we're going to want this from each other, or, you know, I want you or need you to be something for me. So what I wonder is that when you start to feel that, oh, I kind of have an attachment to you or I like you, is there any part of you that starts to...
worry?
Yeah, or to be very, like, aware of the vulnerability that that causes?
Yes.
Okay. How comfortable is that for you?
Not comfortable at all.
Okay. So go back to when you said you had, like, 5 years ago, you had a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
How long was that relationship?
About 8 months.
Okay. And
is that your longest relationship?
I've never had a relationship go over a year.
Okay.
Okay. So in that relationship, for example, what was it like for you when that transition occurred?
With that one? Yeah. That one was fine. Okay. I enjoyed, that was the last time that I enjoyed being in a relationship. It wasn't me that called it off.
Okay. So
was it a bad breakup? Was it like, we don't need details, but I'm just saying, was the break point a bad situation, or was it just kind of a mutual?
Someone,
like, she
got
broke
her
it
pregnant.
Off, obviously. Oh.
Okay.
And it wasn't me.
So part of the reason, okay, so
that doesn't
helpful.
Help anything in a relationship, actually.
Right. No, but
unless
it's
the people getting each other pregnant type thing, you know?
Well, it's helpful information to have, because what I'm wondering is that, okay, so as we kind of go through, so let's see, 31 now, you're 26 when that happened, mm-hmm. 25, 26. Okay. So as you are kind of in this, like, very, like, okay, I'm not really a teenager, not, like, you know, young, but also not really, like, old adult either, kind of. It's a very, like, transformative, like, time period in life, developmentally. Now, here you are, you've put yourself into a vulnerable place with someone who you're connecting with, and you're like, yeah, I'm good with this. This is fine. This is fabulous. And then you find out, oh, well, she's pregnant by someone that's not you. That, on some subconscious level, and maybe a conscious level, does not do a whole lot of good for the part of you that wants to be vulnerable. Because now it's going to say, yeah, screw that. I'm just going to keep those walls up, because letting
them
down.
Yeah, I'm never going to let anybody into that part of my psyche anymore.
But I don't consciously do that.
No, I'm not saying you do. I'm saying it's a subconscious thing right now. We can talk about it and try and bring it to a conscious level, but I wonder if that even, like, resonates with you or makes sense, that, you know, you would have a certain, like, almost, okay, so you had mentioned, like, the term PTSD, and I don't play, like, light with that term at all, but there's what I call, like, big T traumas that I think really qualify as, like, diagnosable PTSD. Mm-hmm. There's, like, little T traumas that are, like, maybe not the extreme that a big trauma would be, but they're enough traumatizing to, like, act like little miniature PTSD. So in a way, it's like, all right, you get into a relationship or you get into an interaction with somebody, you start to feel some of that connection, attachment, whatever, and there's certain parts of your brain that just whoop, shut down.
Now, for not to Dan's defense or anything, we've talked about some of his exploits in the military on the show during overtime and on the main show. One thing that Dan has brought to the light and has told a lot of people on our show is the fact that he was the survivor of an IED attack, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we all survived.
Right, but that's my point. Like, that's a massive thing. That's not just like, hey, I went to war and I was over there and I saw some crazy things and, you know, it affected me. Like, that's a huge thing. Like, this thing that most people, like, the whole shell shock aspect, literally did happen, and you literally did survive potentially losing your life.
But
that's a big thing.
It is, but I was screwed up before that. Well, after that, I came home, and the first relationship I got into, I was with her for 8 months, and then I found out she had a boyfriend for 4 years that she was still dating.
Okay.
And we didn't know about each other.
So you had at least two examples of somebody. Essentially, you're putting yourself out there, being honest, being truthful, being, like, connected and attaching to a person who's not really committing to you in the same manner. So even though it seems like it, when you find out, it's like, you know, once you, like, see something, it's like you can't unsee it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe it was kept in the dark or kept from you, and then it's like you find out and you're like, well, shit, that's not cool. Like, that's really not cool. Like, zeffed up.
Was the eight month relationship with the girl that got pregnant and all that, was that prior to going to the military?
Or that was right when I got home.
That was right when you got home. And then there was another relationship after that with the guy dating the girl for 4 years and you didn't know about it.
No. Flip.
I'll be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Got home, dated the girl. She wound up having a boyfriend of 4 years that I didn't know about.
Okay.
Right after that, met another girl. She wound up hooking up with a guy who she worked next to. Which that may or may not have been my fault. I was a little loony at that time, so I kind of think it kind of drove that one.
Yeah.
But
maybe you weren't in a place to be emotionally ready for that connection, even though you seemed like you were connected, like you weren't disconnected, but yet at the same time, maybe you weren't quite in the best mental place to be there.
Oh, no, I was in substance abuse by that point, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had, I can't really blame her for that one.
Yeah.
But, no, but, like, the reason, I understand what's being said, but when I, let's say I do meet people mm-hmm. and I like them mm-hmm. and I know that this mm-hmm. person would not do that to me. Mm-hmm. Like I could tell you right off that this person would not. This mm-hmm. person is the most loyal person that I've ever met and so on and so forth. I still can't do it.
So can't or won't?
No, I can't. Like okay. I literally, it can't, like I will try to talk myself into it, but it just becomes almost anxiety. I can't do it.
Yeah, it almost sounds like what I would say. You know, sometimes people get anxiety about anxiety. Like, they're not actually anxious at the moment, but they start to feel things that seem similar to what they felt before, and so they get anxious about what might happen to make them anxious. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Like, it's like you almost spiral it on itself.
Well, I mean, yeah, in general, that's, yeah, once someone's experienced the panic attack, they're going to keep thinking they're having a panic attack.
Right. So part of it is to allow, first of all, do you even want a relationship?
See, that's my thing. I don't know if I do or not, but I mm-hmm. need one. I'm 31. I got to start having some kids.
That's kind of like one of those, you know, we've got a lot of societal shoulds, and I like to remind people, stop shoulding on yourself. Wish I could take credit for that, but I can't. But Albert Ellis can, and I think there's a lot of truth to that, that if you stop for a second asking what you should do or what you need to do, but rather what do you want to do, what do you come up with?
But see, I go by what I want to do. Like, mm-hmm. Women now don't upset me. Like, I can literally start talking to you, and mm-hmm. you can go find another dude, and there could be a competition going, and you choose to go with him. I don't care.
Right.
Like, that's just, it is what it is. It's mm-hmm. life. Not everybody's going to connect. Mm-hmm. I'm not in a rush to get in a relationship.
Okay.
Everyone around me is telling me I need to, and I understand societal issues and shoulds, and I agree with you. I think society tells us to do things we may not need to do.
Have you found someone at all over the last 2 years? Let's just say 2 years, okay? Right? 24 months.
Okay.
In the last 24 months, have you found anyone, and we're not naming names or anything. We don't need all that. I'm just saying, have you found anyone that gives you those willies in your stomach, that like actually excites you to be around them, that actually makes you go, wow, this is kind of a unique individual and I really kind of like this person. Like, and before you even get to those triggers for the anxiety.
But like, I mean, like,
have you found anyone
like
that?
I identify two different things. There's sex and then there's emotions.
Sure.
So there's people that I've met that I'm like, I really like this person. I want to keep them in my life.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
The sex thing doesn't follow. Maybe I don't want to, you know, have for example, I like them. I want them to stay around. I think they're great people. I care about them very deeply, but I'm not really in it. So I'm not going to push it any further because I think that would be wrong because you don't do that to somebody, mm-hmm. especially if you're not ready. And you know that hurts the person and you try to remain their friend and sometimes you try to back out or whatever. But I don't ever feel, I'll be honest with you, I've never been in love.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe it's the fact that you put sex first.
Tried to do it the other way and it don't work.
Well, you got to keep trying maybe. I don't know for sure.
And that's what I do. But like, I keep getting told and like everybody's looking at me like that it's not right. Like not right, but mm-hmm. like, no, it's odd. Your behavior is harmful. It's not. Because my thing is, like, I'm down with sex. I'll tell people, like, let's have a sexual relationship. That's all it is. Let's have fun. I'm not going to be going out and whoring it up. We'll have, a fun little thing together. I respect you. We'll joke around afterwards. It's not a very cold existence.
Right.
But I'm not trying to
Maybe you're just too deep on the friends with benefits aspect of life then.
And I don't really like the whole, like, my whole aspect, my thought on it is, if you're going to fall in love with somebody, you're going to fall in love with them. You're not going to be able to help it. And if you're trying at any point to push the subject or you're trying to do anything, it's not natural. And too many people nowadays do it. That's why we're at 60% divorce rating.
Well, so if you look at even things like when you have people that, like, let's say they get somebody pregnant and it's like, oh, you should get married. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you the number of couples that I've worked with where one or both of them felt pressure from some outside source because it's what you should, quote unquote, do. And they're miserable. And so sometimes I'll ask people, would you rather be alone and happy or miserable with somebody else? And so when you look at the connections that you had with some of these people that maybe didn't treat you right or well, or, you know, respect you for in the confines of that relationship, that's not necessarily like, I don't know, who would want to settle for that? Who should be asked to settle for that? If what you really are saying is that if I meet somebody and it's a right connection, then it's a right connection. I'm not going to fight it. But yet, if there's nobody that can, like, I don't know, reach past those kind of like anxiety walls that are there, then maybe they're not worth my time.
And here's the thing. Is it bad that I'm not even mad at the people that did get pregnant by other people? Like, I mm-hmm. don't care. I'm still friends with them. I also talk to them.
Yeah.
No better feelings at all. I'm one of those things that life happens for a reason. You did what you did. I can't change it. I don't think you're an evil person for it. Mm-hmm. I almost just don't care.
So I believe you that on some level you don't care, but my therapist gut instinct is saying that there is something beneath that that maybe we don't dig into right now, but that it's probably masking something else. Not that it's fake, not that it's false, not that there's no part of you that doesn't care, but the I don't care or the, you know, oh, no big deal. Like
almost
roll
as
off.
If there was a jilted aspect.
Well, no, the time it was harmful and it hurt right. And it did everything. But like now when I look back, if I was to see those people on the road, like on the street, I would almost be like, how are you doing? And if they right. told me, well, I would feel good about that because right. I don't
wish ill will on them.
I'm not negative. I don't right. have a bitter. I hope things worked out great for them.
Right.
If other people feel better, good, that makes me feel better.
Right. Which I would just say, and this is me not really knowing you other than like what the last 2 hours or whatever being right. on the radio, but the fact that you were in the military, that you enlisted, that it even knowing that would tell me that there's a part of you that wants to kind of work for the greater good of people, that you want people to be okay and happy and secure in their life.
Mm-hmm.
Tenfold.
Okay. So, and I can identify with that partly because that's why I do what I do. Like I don't necessarily need anybody to, you know, jump up and down like, yay, you're a great therapist. That's not what I'm doing it for. It's like if I have somebody that just makes some breakthrough or has some moment, it's like that can keep me going for a long time in terms of if I have other people that just like pulling teeth to get them to talk or something like that. But yet at the same time, I don't have any ill will towards the people that, you know, have wronged me or hurt me. They may have issues with me, but I'm like, hey, it's your thing. It's all good. But there is some aspect of that too that if there's this kind of, I don't want to say numb, but kind of like closed off wall that says, okay, I start to feel attachment to someone and I just got to do like, I've subconsciously shut that down. I don't think you're doing it consciously, but there's a subconscious like automatic response that shuts that down. There's a certain protective component to that if you think about it. So the brain is really, really good at compartmentalizing and shutting us down, protecting us from things that could potentially hurt us. So if you go back to, and I don't want to talk about things that you experienced in the military without like knowing the details, but I'm just going to go by what Mark said a while ago, that you live through something that the brain is absolutely going to respond to going, yeah, that shit happened and I don't like that. So in some ways, the PTSD component of things is that it almost like overreacts. It goes to like the other extreme of I'm going to shore up all of my sides and I'm going to make sure that everything is safe and secure and that nothing is going to harm me. There's a part of what I'm wondering if maybe there's some of that going on.
Well, I was told the PTSD thing. I don't know how completely. Like there was definitely
something.
There was something. Sure. I changed. I got home and started to develop phobias.
Yeah.
Like on a very quick note and changed kind of completely. I mean, I'm sure the alcohol abuse and everything didn't help, but
I heard PTSD is one of the hardest things to actually diagnose.
Well, and that's the reason I said there's like big T traumas, there's little T traumas. There's the, you know, again, whatever we call it is not as important as how we respond to it. And so I think that whether or not you want to be in a relationship right now or you don't, or you think it might be a fun thing, or you're really just okay being 31 and living your life and having fun doing what you're doing, my suggestion would be, without knowing a lot more detail, would be to say, just be authentic to what feels right. Because if it doesn't feel right to you to settle down and quote unquote settle for something just because it's right now, you're not going to long-term be happy with that.
Is there anything wrong with me being 31 and really into sex? Does that make me a pig?
No, it makes you a man.
Yeah.
And it makes you a normal person that says, hey, I like sex. Everybody does. It's just a matter of the people that admit it or not.
Yeah, and you're just
I'm
admitter.
Open. Like, I tell them.
I know.
I never lie.
You don't
never
open.
Listen, stop. Don't go any further. Don't open up another can of worms on this discussion. What? This is going to get deep. This
I'm
is going
to
get
saying,
deep.
I like to, I'm into some kinky shit.
Yes,
and
you
I'm
are.
I'm just going to say, I like it, but I don't know if that's a bad like. I also like alcohol. And we saw how that worked out.
So I'll say this is like a thing for next time.
Yes.
Not only am I not in the mindset that anything kinky is bad, if you are consenting and it is safe and you're not harming anybody against their will and vice versa, I got no issue with it as long as it's legal.
I'm an outfit guy. Is that okay?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Lindsay Walden.
You are normal.
I want to thank Lindsay Walden. LindsayWalden.com is her website. Check her out. Thank you so much for psychoanalyzing our friend Dan Walsh. Dan Walsh is over there.
It's going to feel worse before it feels better.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And Bobby, producer Bobby, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I love you guys.
All right. We'll see you guys later on the queue. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
No problem.